The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, May 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, check fraud is now rampant all across the region, hitting every county and every person who uses the mail, according to investigators. Lower Moreland Township Police say thieves are doing everything from driving through wealthy neighborhoods, digging through the trash, to using fishing tools to get into mailboxes outside of the post office. It's all in an effort to steal and cash checks in other people's names. Police believe the thieves search the income of the neighborhood and then go in and hit. In December of last year, one resident mailed two checks, but they were never delivered. A month later, he got a notice that someone tried to cash a check for $13,000. The thieves are getting more sophisticated, recruiting people on social media sites and paying them to use their own bank accounts to cash these fraudulent checks. So they're saying, like, they'll contact them on social media and say, hey, you can make $100. Just cash this check. I'll take the money, you get your $100, and then you never hear from me again. And they said people are doing it.
It's crazy.
Officials say there are steps that you can take to protect yourself. They say definitely start shredding any documentation with personal information in it, because they're going through people's trash cans. Officials also recommend keeping a record of who you sent your checks to and when. They say if you suspect anything suspicious, reach out to officers.
You know, my wife's putting, we have an actual mailbox two blocks away, which she'll walk to and use, and has stopped doing that because this stuff is on the rise so much.
Yeah, they're saying if that red, like, you're putting up a red flag, if you pull that red flag out on your mailbox, because they know there's something in there that's being sent, and, you know, likely it's a check.
Yeah.
Police say they are searching for a suspect wanted in connection with a burglary that took place at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel earlier this month. On May 3rd at about 1:20 a.m., police say a man entered the Ritz-Carlton Hotel located on South Broad Street. Authorities say the suspect forced open a basement door and went through the loss prevention office and locker room. The suspect took numerous items and then fled the area, according to police. Police described the suspect as a man with a thin build, wearing black sweatpants with a white stripe down the side and a light-colored shirt. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to contact police. Two beach houses have fallen into the waves along North Carolina's coast, U.S. National Park Service officials said in a statement Tuesday. The unoccupied homes were located along Ocean Drive in the Outer Banks community of Rodanthe. The Park Service confirmed both collapses Tuesday and closed off the areas around the houses. Debris from the first fallen house was spreading widely. Officials from the Cape Hatteras National Seashore, which is part of the Park Service, said that they will be working closely with the homeowner to coordinate cleanup activities. This is the third time a home has fallen into the surf this year. A house collapsed in February and spread debris across many miles of beaches before the homeowner and volunteers were able to clean up most of it. However, cleanup efforts for smaller pieces of debris continues. North Carolina's coast is almost entirely made up of narrow, low-lying barrier islands. Hatteras Island is part of what's known as the Outer Banks. Hundreds of pricey vacation homes have been built there in places where experts say they probably should not have been. The islands are particularly vulnerable to storm surges and to being washed over from both sides.
Yeah, this one house that they were showing that just absolutely all the supports underneath it, and it was raised up off the beach, obviously. They gave just way, and the house just, the video is running here in the studio. And it's like, how close was that to the surf to begin with?
Well, development only makes the problem worse, they say, because the communities replenish shorelines that are eroding and have been depleted by storms. As sea levels rise, barrier islands typically move toward the mainland over long periods of time. Holding them in place by artificial means only makes them more vulnerable. Mm. In sports this morning. After winning games 3 and 4 and seemingly gaining all of the momentum in the series, the Sixers lost a critical Game 5 to the Heat in Miami last night.
What the is it?
The Sixers were blown out by the Heat 120-85. Joel Embiid only had 17 points and 5 rebounds the day after it was announced that he wasn't awarded the MVP honor. Embiid took a shot to the right side of his face in the second quarter and remained on the ground for some time while trainers worked on him. But after going to the bench briefly, he returned to the game. To even the series, the Sixers must win Game 6 tomorrow. Back at home, tip-off at the Wells Fargo Center will be at 7 o'clock. The Phillies lost to the Mariners 5-4 last night.
What the
night.
Is it?
Nick Castellanos, Rhys Hoskins, and Gene Segura had solo homers for Philadelphia, which has lost 6 of 8. Phillies manager Joe Girardi was ejected in the second inning for arguing when the Mariners' Adam Frazier was called safe after inadvertently knocking the ball out of first baseman Hoskins' glove on a play that led to a Seattle run. The two teams face each other again today for an afternoon game scheduled for 3:40. Reed Detmers was called up to the Los Angeles Angels late last season with high expectations. After 10 forgettable big league starts, the rookie left-hander exceeded even his own hopes on Tuesday night. The 22-year-old pitched the major's second no-hitter this season, helping the Angels to a 12-0 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. And the 2022 NHL draft lottery was last night. The Montreal Canadiens won the lottery and will get the number one pick. The Philadelphia Flyers drew the 5th overall pick. The Flyers finished 29th in the NHL and second to last in the Eastern Conference with a 25-46-11 record and 61 points. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome you to Wednesday morning with Preston and Steve Show. We do have a secret text word today, which is something we do on Wednesdays. We have your opportunity to win some tickets to see the Record Company. They're going to be playing Friday, October 28th at Union Transfer. But the tickets go on sale this Friday.
Right.
So we will give them away. Text word secret 39333. Nice guys. They've been out to our Camp Out for Hunger a couple times.
Yeah,
played
great
there. And very big fans of MMR and love coming to Philadelphia. So we'll get you those tickets if you get in on the running. And if you text in, you'll also be in the running to get it randomly. We'll randomly choose a winner as well. We also are winding down things with our concert cash promotion chance to win $500 and MMRBQ tickets. So two times with us alone today. We wrap that up on Friday. Don't miss your opportunity. We'll go live on Fox Good Day. And we also have a person that's going to be performing at MMRBQ stopping by. Adam Wiener of Low Cut Connie.
Cool.
We'll be here this morning to do some live music in the studio.
Two live band appearances.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We had him via Zoom a little while back when we first announced the MMRBQ, but now we'll get him live here in the studio, which is awesome. So we'll do that around 9 o'clock. And we also have a concert announcement to boot. So we'll do that with music news at some point today. So several things for us to get to. Why don't we take a quick break? Come back in a second. We'll start giving some things away with the stupid question and the entertainment report. Hang in there. We're going to have a good time this Wednesday morning.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And probably other places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Oh, wow, you patted that nicely.
You're welcome.
Sorry, I had to moisturize.
Ooh.
But seriously, my hands are like crazy dry. And like, if I have all these papers and I was trying to like, you know, switch the pages. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't do it. It's so dry.
Help!
So I left the studio, left Kathy hanging while she was doing her traffic.
You couldn't even tell.
Not at all. All right, so we're going to do the stupid question this morning. And we are going to give away a pair of MMRBQ pit tickets. If you can tell me what uranium becomes when it has lost all of its radioactivity.
Oh, eggplants.
215-263. Don't give it away.
Oh, sorry.
215-263-WMMR. What does uranium become when it has lost all of its radioactivity? 215-263-WMMR is the number. So, birthdays today. Not many of them, actually. I only have like four to mention.
I'm sure they're stellar, though, each and every one of them.
No, not really.
No. Oh, well.
But there's some good ones. I could probably find some more, but I was a little overwhelmed this morning. It was like too much information. Information overload.
Yeah.
I should have dug deeper on my birthdays, but no. I was digging deeper into other things. I'll get to that another time. I'm a little distracted here. All right, so it's Eric Burdon's birthday today. It's the 11th day of May. He turns 81 years old, lead singer of the Animals.
Yes.
And he also did a turn in the band War, if you remember.
Soulful voice.
Yeah.
There he is. I watched a documentary about this period in music, you know, and he was prominently featured, and you know, he had some very funny anecdotal stories, but he veered off occasionally and came back. It's good to see he's still alive.
Yeah,
he went through some stuff.
Well, and they the Animals took this kind of darker turn. Yeah. In music, a lot of music at that time was kind of bright and poppy. And,
yes.
And these guys went into a darker place with their, you know, minor keys and stuff like that, which give it a moodier sound. And I just thought they had this cool little kind of bad boy look about them.
Is this a cover?
I believe so.
Yeah,
I think
right,
it's like a classic.
Right, yeah.
Older R&B song or something. But
this is a great song.
This is a great tune. Spill the Wine from War.
Another great one.
I absolutely love it. It's on my summer playlist when I want to just chill and be cool. I really love listening to that song. So Eric Burdon turns 81 years old today. It's also Martha Quinn's birthday. Yep.
The Girl Next Door of MTV.
Original MTV VJ. What is this?
I don't know. I have too much
MTV
stuff.
Classic promo.
So I thought it was like, bam, bam, you know, like that. It was not. Now we're listening to the Animals because now I'm overloaded with information.
Do you want some moisturizer?
I do not. I do have some eczema cream, which I think might help Preston out.
Okay. All right. So you guys share your lotions. Kathy, you have any lotion for me I could borrow?
I do. I have unscented lotion. You know me.
Thank you.
Let's play this MTV promo, Casey, just for the hell of it and see what this is.
This is the coolest show in the history of television.
Changes the whole game.
This is like 1990s MTV.
Gotta be. Beavis and Butthead.
So Martha was at the very, very beginning. She was one of the original MTV VJs, along with J.J. Jackson, Nina Blackwood. Who else was there? Mark Hunter. Who was here?
Mark Goodman.
Mark Goodman. Yep. Thank you.
It's wild, Preston. You weren't able to attend, but when they had the 50th celebration for WMMR over at the Foundry?
Yeah.
So they had Carol Miller and Mark Goodman, who had been, you know, married at one point, but you had all these like legendary people associated with the station. And we had Goodman on and talking about his heyday with MMR and the beginning of MTV.
Yeah.
He has great memories, which is really cool.
So happy birthday, Martha Quinn. She's 63 today. Jeffrey Donovan, who was in Burn Notice and Changeling, is 54.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I know his face.
I never watched Burn Notice.
No. But I do know that face.
Oh, is he like a good-looking dude? Is he the star?
Of course.
Okay, there he is. All right.
Is Burn Notice...
it's like a USA Network thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the girl from... What show had the girl that was in...
Our Target?
No. The movie with Al Pacino where he's blind. Come on.
Sense of a Woman.
Yeah. He's in the... I know. I didn't give you guys anything.
Come on. You know.
In the tango scene, who dances with him, that young lady, she was on a show that was of that type on USA Network. Was that Burn Notice?
It might have been. There was Silk Stockings, and there was Burn Notice, and there were all those USA...
I need Nick here to pull up my information.
He watched all this crap. Yeah.
He's not here right now, so we're just going to guess at this stuff. Jeffrey Donovan is 54, and then the last birthday I have is Jonathan Jackson, who is in Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah,
he's good. Camp Nowhere, Nashville. He's another one I don't know. He's 40 years old today.
Gabrielle Anwar was the...
That's it.
Was she in Burn Notice?
Oh.
That's what I want to find out.
I think she might be.
I want to find out who she was.
Carry on, I'll find out.
Okay. Marissa brought in some other birthdays today for us.
Yes, she was in Burn Notice.
Okay, there you
go.
That's the show.
Yeah!
Woo! We did it!
Then via that, I know who that guy is.
All right.
Okay. All right. Sabrina Carpenter was on the show Girl Meets World, and she's from Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania.
Oh. Pennsylvania's where we are.
That is correct, yes. She is 33 today, and you know who else's birthday is today? Black China.
Oh, my God. I love her.
And I have some Black China news coming up in a little bit.
So I can't believe your prep service that writes about Black China every single day.
Yeah, and didn't include the birthday.
Left her off early.
Yeah, quick question. Are you team Black China or team Tokyo Toni?
Oh, Tokyo Toni.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without question.
Yeah.
She's sassy.
She's the OG.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What does uranium become when it loses its radioactivity? We are going to go to Tom, see if we can get the answer. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, it.
Good morning, it. Tom, what's the answer, sir?
That would be lead.
Lead.
Hey!
Hang on a second. We are going to give you a pair of tickets to see the MM Barbecue. Not only that, you're going to be in the pit, man. Saturday, May 21st, Waterfront Music Pavilion, eight bands, plus the Preston and Steve side stage featuring Froggy, live band karaoke with Sidearm and Jackie Bam Bam Party Deck, DJ set, and the tickets start at just $25. Complete details, WMMR.com, including the karaoke audition videos, and you can vote for the ones that you want to see sing on the Preston and Steve side stage. So make sure that you check the website and participate. We would love to get your opinion. All right, we're going to go through some of the entertainment stories I have here for you this morning. We'll start with this. Just hours after Grey's Anatomy, actor Jesse Williams was nominated for a Tony for his role in Take Me Out on Monday. Nude photos and video of the actor were leaked online.
Whoa!
But it's nothing sensational because he stars as a gay professional baseball player in the Broadway play, and in one scene, he is fully nude while taking a shower on stage. Mm. Despite audience members being required to keep all cell phones locked in cases during the performance, photos and videos of the shower scene were leaked online.
Your balls are showing.
On Monday.
You know what? He got in great shape for this. Obviously, he knew he's going to be up on stage fully nude. He looks great, and he seems to be okay or cool with it.
Well, sure, and it's fun. I mean, he's on stage in front of people. Mm-hmm. What's the big deal?
Yeah, you it's know, like that, I didn't walk through this door where I could have seen you, so I'm seeing it now in a picture.
So that same night, Williams commented on the nude scenes during an appearance on Watch What Happens Live. He said, "It's a body. Once you see it, you realize it's whatever. It's a body. I just have to not make it that big of a deal."
Yeah, he chiseled up that body.
Yeah, he's in great shape.
Yeah.
And naturally, Twitter is having a field day with
Twitter.
The leaked footage.
No, because he's got a Twitter. Huge Johnson, that's why.
One person had tweeted out, dying to see, or driving to New York to see Jesse Williams in Broadway as we speak. Another wrote, "Good night to Jesse Williams and Jesse Williams only."
Oh, yeah.
So he's naked there. If you haven't seen a penis, go look at it.
Yeah.
Hillary Duff is having her moment on the cover of Women's Health. Duff posed nude, quote-unquote nude,
okay,
for the magazine's body issue and commented on the effects of Hollywood on one's body image. She said, "I am proud of my body. I'm proud that it's produced three children for me. I've gotten to a place of being peaceful with the changes my body has gone through.
Here's my body."
She also, she looks great.
We're looking
at, she is fully naked. It's a full side shot of her laying in a pool. She also wanted fans to know how much went into the photo shoot. She said, "I also want people to know that a makeup artist was there putting glow all over my body and someone put me in the most flattering position."
You know, it's pretty wild when you see these Instagram people and they'll do the, they'll show what they really look like, sans holding in their gut and lighting and so on and so forth. It's pretty drastic.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, she got it like this. The other guy, she got in shape for this.
What was her show? It was
Zoe 101.
Was it Zoe 101?
No, that was...
No, she was Lizzie McGuire.
Lizzie McGuire, yeah, that's it, yeah.
And now
she was a heartthrob, but like, right? Little young
she
boys.
She was like a tween, now she's How I Met Your Father. And it's really cute. It's like a 2022 version.
It's not bad. I was surprised.
Yeah.
So the actress added, "We bust our ass to get our bodies in shape and to look the best we can. We get facials and Botox and our hair done and highlights and brows and lash lifts and all this stuff. But I want to work on the inside. That's the
beautiful,
most important part of the system," she says.
Isn't that special, Kathy? She wants to work on the inside.
Good for her.
Yep. So
now she's the outside looks perfect.
Yeah.
I'll work on the inside.
Now that I spent $250,000
for this one photo shoot.
Yep. I got so much Botox, all my hair fell out.
Yeah. Michelle Williams and her husband, Hamilton director Thomas Kail, will be welcoming another baby this fall.
I didn't know she was married to the director of Hamilton.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Williams told Variety on Tuesday, "It's totally joyous.
Totes.
As the years go on, you sort of wonder what they might hold for you or not hold for you. It's exciting to discover that something you want again and again is available one more time. That good fortune is not lost on me or my family." So that's a nice statement.
Yeah.
This will be...
Instead of the usual crap.
Yeah. Her and Kale's second child together as their son Hart was born in 2020. Williams also has, of course, 16-year-old daughter Matilda that she shared with the late Heath Ledger. I like her. She seems like a class act.
She also does, she'll jump between art house stuff and like Benham, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, exactly.
She's not too snooty.
Mario Batali, the celebrity chef, was found not guilty of indecent assault and battery yesterday following a swift trial in which the celebrity chef waived his right to have a jury decide his fate. He pleaded not guilty to indecent assault and battery in 2019. He had faced up to 2.5 years in jail and would have been required to register as a sex offender if convicted. Batali's accuser recounted in court how she had been shocked, surprised, and alarmed as the 61-year-old former Food Network personality aggressively kissed and groped her while they were taking a selfie at a Boston restaurant in 2017.
Yeah, we have audio of the judge actually making the declaration in the case. I didn't know you could waive
and have a judge make a decision. Yeah. I guess in certain cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 32-year-old software company worker said that she felt confused and powerless to do anything to stop Batali as he touched her without her consent. She also filed a lawsuit that's pending in Suffolk County Superior Court in Boston, which Batali's attorney argued gave her a financial incentive to lie. After four women had accused him of inappropriate touching in 2017, he stepped down from day-to-day operations at his restaurant, Empire, and left the since-discontinued ABC cooking show, The Chew.
I like that show.
He also apologized, acknowledging the allegations, quote, match up with the ways that he had acted. He had said in an email newsletter at the time, I have made many mistakes, my behavior was wrong, and there are no excuses. I take full responsibility. I mean, I think he was a handsy dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was found not guilty?
Well, so he had multiple people accuse him of inappropriate touching, okay. And he flat out said, okay, I've done this stuff. I've been, you know, a little loosey-goosey. And so, but this particular case, they're saying was not quantified as sexual assault.
Yeah.
Now, he may have, you know, been a bit over the top flirtatious and you know, was hanging on her and stuff, but he didn't see it as sexual assault.
Yeah, the judge spells out why he sided with Batali when he...
We'll get to that in just a second. So, the trial opened on Monday with Batali in a surprise move, waiving his right to a jury trial and opting instead to have the judge decide his fate. The attorney, Batali's, argued that the Boston assault never happened and that the accuser isn't a credible witness, homing in on the woman's recent admission of attempting to avoid jury service by claiming to be clairvoyant.
Uh-huh.
She was also accused in that case of violating the judge's orders to keep an open mind and not discuss the case with others. So now we have the clip. Here we go.
Complaining witness has significant credibility issues. Those issues were highlighted in her testimony. These issues, they were significant in the mind of the court, and they support the defendant's contention that her motive was financial gain.
Both the accuser and Batali left the courtroom without speaking to reporters. Wow. So it's that's done.
When he gave up his, I guess, his out-in-front role with his restaurants, did he retain, I assume he retained some sort of monetary business connection to them, right?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. I don't know.
That would be really drastic.
If he walked out as a partner or what, but Mike Tyson can breathe a sigh of relief. The boxing legend will not face criminal charges stemming from his airplane beatdown that we talked a little while
back. It's the best day of my life.
The San Mateo County District Attorney said Monday morning because of the conduct of the victim leading up to the incident, the interaction between Mr. Tyson and the victim, as well as the request of both victim and Mr. Tyson, no charges will be filed against the legendary fighter.
Dude was such a douchebag that I think, I mean, he would not stop.
I know, but like, so was this airplane in the air?
No, I don't think so.
No.
All right.
It wasn't. In fact, they walked off of it. He walked off of it before they took off.
Let me help you walk off.
Yeah, because I just wasn't sure if, like, it doesn't matter if, you know, people are pressing charges or not. Like, if you do something on an airplane like that,
that's a straight up criminal act. If you attack someone and the person doesn't press charges, I don't think that will. If the airline wants to press charges, or I think there's multiple facets to this.
Yeah, I think. Are you wondering, Casey, if because you're on an aircraft, or maybe when you're in the air, that it falls under some type of rule that it's a danger to other people,
and therefore, you
know, something traumatic could potentially happen with an aircraft. Plane crashing or something like that. I
We're all pre-med.
Don't know. So this is a big deal for Mike because he had been facing the possibility of multiple criminal charges as he was punching this man repeatedly in the face. Reps for Tyson had alleged that the man threw a water bottle at him and annoyed him repeatedly prior to the attack. An attorney for the man, meanwhile, had argued no bottle was thrown and blamed the incident on his client being overly excited. Sounds like he was poking a bull with a stick.
Yeah, it actually does.
Totally.
You know what happens in this case, too, Preston? I think prior to the flight, there were fans who had come up, and Mike was taking pictures with him and smiling and the whole thing. So it wasn't like, you know, there was sort of a precedent that established if you approached him the right way, he'd be fine. But if you're leaning over his seat, well, he's clearly trying to just be left alone.
Uh-huh. Now we can go back to buying his gummy ears, right?
That's right. I forgot. his THC gummy ears.
Yeah. You look like Yves.
Stephen Wagstaff, the San Mateo County DA, said ultimately neither Tyson nor the man wanted to go to court over it. He added that they believe there were more serious cases his office should be prosecuting regardless. Since the attack, Mike has been seen jovial in public repeatedly, smiling with fans, taking pictures with supporters, and even smoking weed with Ric Flair and Rick Ross.
Oh, wow. What an evening that would be.
I want to smoke weed with Ric Flair. Come on, man.
Woo!
All right, let's see. How about this? Actor and activist James Cromwell temporarily shut down a Manhattan Starbucks on Tuesday by protesting the coffee company's upcharge on dairy milk alternatives, and he did it by gluing his hand to the barista counter.
I've never tried that.
As he read aloud a list of grievances.
Like when you get not enough fries in your bag at a McDonald's or something, if you had a little bit of crazy glue in your hand, glue yourself to the counter.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I ain't going anywhere until you fix this. Yeah.
Fill up these fries.
More than he had said while he was there, more than 13,000 customers have asked you, and now we're asking, will you stop charging more for vegan milk? When will you stop raking in huge profits while customers, animals, and the environment suffer? This is a live broadcast posted on social media. He was railing against former chief executive Kevin Johnson and presumably interim chief Howard Schultz and the dairy industry.
He's a big activist.
He does a lot of PETA stuff.
This whole thing about them charging more for vegan milk has been a big deal over the past couple of months.
My issue with this protest, Kathy, is that he glued his hand to the counter, but then he put his hiney on the counter.
Yeah, he did. Come on.
He said, when will you stop penalizing people for their ethnicity and their morals? The senseless upcharge hurts animals, he said. He was joined by a number of activists with PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who superglued themselves to the counter to protest the coffee giant's additional fees for vegan milk options. The protest continued until New York police officers arrived at the scene, and they threatened to arrest those who wouldn't leave. Cromwell eventually unglued his hand and that of another demonstrator at the location before the shop was briefly shut down.
I have better things to do. You know what I mean? You have this much time to sit there and glue yourself to a counter?
I think it's just effective if you just go,
and then walk out with your vegan milk.
This is more expensive?
But what I find interesting is he must have had glue remover with him because he said he unglued his hand, so he wasn't really committed. If he brought, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
if he brought something to remove his hand
surgically, what exactly do you use?
Probably nail polish remover, right? Isn't that a good glue?
Or maybe he's got a piece of the counter on his hand.
Right.
He leaves it with a big...
I don't know. I freak out.
Cut out a piece of the counter.
I freak out if I get super glue on my hand. Like, I'm like, oh no. So I...
Well, and then even if you don't have like two fingers stuck together, which is a freaking nightmare, you have that coating on there.
Yeah.
And it feels slightly dead.
That always made me wonder. So, you know, people would burn off their fingerprints, you know, or with acid or an abrasive or some sort of thing. If you take crazy glue and put that over your fingerprints.
Then go commit your crime?
Yeah, because it's a clear film. You feel it.
Look at what you're just giving all I'm of the criminals.
You, if you're looking, if you haven't had success robbing places, I'd like to give you some advice.
Or you can just wear gloves or whatever. You
know? Right.
That's an interesting idea, Steve.
Right?
I wonder if anybody ever thought of that.
Putting
glue on their fingertips or all over, because you can get palm prints and things like that, too. Or you could just put gloves on.
Or stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, that, too.
Yeah.
But if you're considering a life of crime,
yes, yeah.
Think of these tips. Be smart.
Mm-hmm. Also, okay, can we go back to this for a second?
Yes.
So I don't know anything about it. I didn't research it. So I'm just making this comment in what I'm thinking. But is there a chance that it just costs a little bit more money to process the vegan milk?
It is quite possible that's the case.
Well, I get okay. Do you want me to? I wasn't going to read his full statement, but if you want the details here, okay. So, producing cow's milk generates 3 times more greenhouse gases than producing vegan options. So, there's more than just the money here.
Yeah.
If you drink milk, you're subsidizing the veal industry, he said. Adding, Starbucks has admitted that cow's milk is the company's biggest contributor to its carbon footprint, and Starbucks agrees that vegan milks are a big part of the solution, but it still charges for them. Starbucks claims that it wants to be more sustainable, but it discourages customers from choosing sustainable products. The company claims to be committed to inclusion and diversity, but it still discriminates against those who can't have dairy. So he's got more than just
the money.
It's part of the problem, he's saying.
So I went to Guppy's and I bought the Kathy Romano sandwich.
It was delicious, right?
But it's too expensive. So I glued my nutsack to the cash register, Preston.
Oh. That's a good idea.
And I'm like, no.
But they were okay with that.
They were
fine.
You
know why? Because nobody's going to try and remove that.
No.
And nobody's going to get over there and touch your nuts.
It was also after hours and it was closed.
So he didn't think that.
Yeah.
Okay.
For closure, he definitely brought like a little thing of nail polish remover or something.
He did?
Yes. And okay, like, some kind of solvent. It off. Yep.
Okay.
My buddy accidentally glued his finger to the windshield of his car. And I mean, we were supposed to take the driving test. And he had to basically rip his skin off of his...
Would you fail a driving test if throughout the entire thing you kept one finger pressed against the windshield?
He ended up failing the test anyway, but it was a ridiculous situation where I had taken him there to get his driver's license.
Your driving tester would say, what are you pointing at?
Yeah.
What are you pointing at?
But you had to get there early, right? So he had to like line up at like 5 a.m. And so he had to pee, and he ended up like when he was peeing into this Gatorade bottle, he knocked the windshield or the rear view mirror off of the windshield.
Yeah.
Then we had to like run to 7-Eleven for crazy glue. We crazy glued it. He glued his finger to the windshield.
Oh my God.
It was Kevin Costello. You know who he is, right?
Yes.
You went to college with this guy. So when I say that name, you're like, oh yeah, of course he glued his finger to the windshield.
The windshield.
Yeah.
So I guess driving, having to test without a rear view mirror was not an option.
Not an option. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to do this without the... I'll just pretend like I'm looking in the rearview mirror, if you don't mind.
I know that you're going to ask what this doorbell is for in Kathy's car.
Oh, yeah. Kathy's dad replaced her horn. It was activated with a doorbell.
No, it was my brake light. It didn't work. So he rigged it up, and he was like, no, just... He goes, yeah, I fixed it. And remember, like, you fixed it, everything's good. He's like, yeah, I fixed it. Just when you step on the brake, you have to hit the doorbell. And I was like, what? Steve, and I drove around like that for a little while.
Could you imagine telling the tester, I'm sorry, sir, I'm going to take one hand off the wheel each time I touch the brake.
I just want you to understand ahead of this there, I'm braking. Do you hear that?
Yes, and you would had to have included the actual doorbell sound every time you hit the brake.
Okay,
how great would that be?
I'm braking now, and let me get this. There's somebody at the back door.
What if every time you touch the brake, that sound came up?
Who were we talking to that had the windshield wipers on ropes? Like, because
I don't know.
Yeah, where they were pulling on both sides to have them go back and forth.
I don't know that.
My dad has done a number of these things. We could give you like
car hacks, a whole list.
Yeah. And, by the way,
not just with cars.
Around
like
the house.
Okay.
Anybody listening to this show on their Alexa at home that has dogs, they're all barking.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. All right, let me get a couple of other stories. Some fans aren't happy with the way Kim Kardashian treated Pete Davidson in a behind-the-scenes video at the Ripley's Believe It or Not in Orlando. It was uploaded recently to the Kardashian social Instagram account. So in the video, Davidson can be seen wearing 2 hats at the same time, a purple one on top of a navy one. And Kim said, take the double hat off, to which the Saturday Night Live star responds, I didn't know where to put my hat. And she said, she'll hold it just in case, because if it works and we want to use this somewhere, just if I want to post any behind the scenes. You don't want me to have a double hat. I appreciate that. Thank you. And then she says, I'm just looking out for you.
It's over.
So, yeah, exactly.
It's over.
Some fans are commenting.
Oh, I thought you were going to shave.
How controlling she's being.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Because everything with her out and about is a photo op.
Yep. Another person wrote, definitely a red flag. Passive aggressive behavior. Yep. Instead of telling him that she doesn't want him to make her look bad, which is what she's implying, she said she's looking out for him. It's giving controlling and selfish, she says.
I just don't want you to make me look bad.
Right.
That's what she's saying.
Exactly. So staying within that group, the Jennersphere, as we've called it
before.
Welcome
to the Jennersphere.
People report that Blac Chyna, born Angela White, is filing a peremptory challenge against the judge in a defamation trial against the Kardashian-Jenner family.
So they're going after the judge in this trial they just completed.
Yeah, court documents show Chyna is using L.A. Superior Court Judge, or is accusing L.A. Superior Court Judge Gregory Alcorn of exhibiting an undeniably hostile and extremely biased attitude towards her and her attorney, Miss Linciani, since April 19th.
Do you know what she did?
2022. What?
She crazy glued Tokyo Tony to the wall of the judge's sauna.
That ought to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going after
them. They're idiots. Mm-hmm. I mean, why?
Yeah.
But they see this as their last potential money grab with this family, and they're doing everything they can to get something.
Well, today's her birthday, so hope she gets something.
Yeah.
Something. All right, Page Six reports that Tariq El Melza was seen pulling his wife, Heather Rae Young, away from a fight with his ex-wife, Christina Hall.
Oh.
However, a joint statement from both parties reads, a personal matter was discussed and has since been resolved.
Yeah.
We are focused on co-parenting as a team moving forward. The Flip or Flop stars share two children together, Braden and Taylor. Young has referred to herself as their bonus mom. So,
That's a healthy relationship.
Oh, right, yeah. And I'm sure the birth mom doesn't want to hear bonus mom.
Yeah, yeah.
As a term being used. Wow. On The View yesterday, Eva Mendes shared she's ready to get back into acting following a years-long break. That would be cool. Always liked her. You know what she's great in is Stuck on You.
Oh, she's great.
She's so good in that movie.
She's also hilarious in The Other Guys, where she plays Will Ferrell's impossibly hot wife.
However, the Hitch actress said she has some conditions. She said, I have such a short list of what I will do. Like before kids, I kind of was up for anything. I mean, if it was a fun project. But now I won't do violence and I won't do sexuality. I don't want to do. And then she paused. She said, the list is short. Whoopi Goldberg replied and said, stuff like Disney. And then Mendes emphatically said, Disney, perfect. I'm more of the villain type of girl. I'm more of the Ursula type. Hmm. I like the villains of the Disney movies. They're fun, she added. So
she should be a good villain.
Yeah, Steve, what if she ported over to Lifetime movies?
Oh, I'd love that. Movies, for Christ's sake, that'd be great. It'd be my glory to have an Eva Mendes holiday movie.
Right. They're they had decent star power on there.
Some of them are great. Yeah, some of them. Yeah, they're stepping up. Listen, that provides, if you look at the amount of job security that people in that sphere, not the Jenner sphere, in the holiday Hallmark Christmas movie sphere, have, it's ongoing.
As we approach Neptune, one is taken by the incredible colors.
Is this our Jenner sphere music?
I like it. Do you like it?
Yeah. Okay. She's like, yeah, absolutely. It's like aboard the black hole.
Yeah. All right. And then let's see.
It's interstellar.
Two more quick stories. According to The Hollywood Reporter, actor Jack Keller passed away. He was in The Big Lebowski.
Yeah. Character actor.
Died on Saturday at the age of 75. You guys are going to love hearing this. I've never seen The Big Lebowski.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. I know a few people have.
Yeah. I've seen parts of it. We're talking about, Murph has never seen Shawshank Redemption. That's a little bigger.
This one, because I used to host all these screenings back in the day, Y100. And
yeah.
This was one I hosted it, and I was like, I guess I'll stick around for it. And I was, because I didn't know what to expect. I was like, I cannot believe how much I love this movie. And it's Coen Brothers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't realize.
Coen Brothers, I love their capabilities. I think they're super talented. I don't always love the stuff that they do.
No. Preston, I don't think I've seen it either.
Okay. Yeah, it's one that should be watched.
And this guy in this movie, he's great. He is Lebowski's landlord, and he's just,
quirky and out there. And the thing about Lebowski is he's really nice to him. And and so that's why he kind of lets him get away with like being late with the rent and stuff like that.
So he had appeared in films such as Point Break, Waterworld, Lethal Weapon 4, Men in Black 2. So some cool movies. He also had roles in television on shows such as Seventh Heaven, NYPD Blue, 24, Mad Men, and The Man from the High Castle. He survived by his wife, Sean Casey, his son, Eddie, and daughter-in-law, Mary Ann. So sad news there.
That is sad.
And then one last thing. People reports that Jennifer Aniston will be returning to The Ellen DeGeneres Show for its final episode on May 26th. Yeah,
she was Was she the first guest on The Ellen DeGeneres Show?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
there
was
you go.
She
2003.
Really?
Yep. And so she will be the last.
They like to do that wraparound. They did the same thing with Letterman. They had Bill Murray. Well, I remember, I don't know if he's the absolute last, but they brought him out for that one of those final shows.
And I think she's had like a lot of her favorites or people that, you know, have come a lot over the years.
Right.
Yep. So, by the way, that last show, May 26th. So that is approaching soon. All right. We're ready to hit the clips now. The Offer provides a dramatic look at the development of one of the most iconic gangster films of all time, The Godfather. And in this clip, Juno Temple talks about seeing the original film for the first time.
I grew up, my father's a filmmaker and was a huge, huge fan of the Godfather films. He had a setup with a projector and a pull-down screen. But I remember being about 14, 15, probably, when he showed me the first Godfather. And it was this extraordinary moment for me.
Yeah!
New episodes of The Offer premiere Thursdays, and that's on Paramount Plus.
I have been watching it, and so it's very glossed over in sort of its feel, but it brings up all the little legendary stories behind the making of. For example, Preston, in the last episode, they sign Brando on board, and I forgot this, and this is the lore, that Brando took the role because during the making of Guys and Dolls, which he was in with Frank Sinatra, Sinatra was pissed at Brando because he got to sing Luck Be a Lady Tonight in the movie. And so Brando, like, took that, like, you mother effer. He goes, you know, he says, I'm going to take this to get back at Sinatra, because Sinatra was fuming at this movie and the character who was, you know, Johnny Fontaine. So and so that was his revenge. That was one of the reasons he got to take that role to get back at Sinatra.
Interesting. All right. Next clip. Here we go. Since the Black Plague in 1347, five men have been working to influence world events for the greater good. One unlikely Canadian journalist finds himself in the middle of a mission to expose the truth and, in the process, save the world in the Pentaverate. Thank you. Here, star Michael Myers talks about his obsession with secret societies.
I think it has to do with my mom was in the Royal Air Force during World War II. She had a top security clearance. In 1985, I was watching a documentary on the Battle of Britain, and it said, and now it can be told that the RAF was reading the German codes. And I said, is that true? And she said, yes, Michael, I can't believe that you're saying that out loud. I said, you've known my whole life? She goes, I signed a piece of paper, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Every episode of The Pentaverate is streaming on Netflix now.
That's why he's always been into spy movies. He's a big Bond fan, and of course, Austin Powers and all that stuff. It all makes sense now.
And then also his father in So I Married an Axe Murderer, he's the one who talks about the Pentaverate with the, you know, Colonel Sanders.
That's right, yeah. All right, and there you go, your entertainment report for today. We got to take a break because we got stuff to do, people to talk to, and we will share it all with you when we return. Stay put, we'll be back in just a moment.
The MMRBQ is almost here, featuring Disturbed, The Pretty Reckless, Living Color, and maybe you.
Oh, that's right. This year, we debut the Preston and Steve Side Stage. Live band karaoke with Sidearm, plus our friends Froggy are going to be playing live. And it's the return of the Jackie Bam Bam Party Deck.
Want to sing on the Preston and Steve Stage? Get audition songs and details at WMMR.com. Then submit your video on social media using hashtag MMRBQ. Also, we're excited to announce our limited-time 420 ticket offer. Four lawn tickets at $20 each. MMRBQ 2022, May 21st at Waterfront Music Pavilion.
Presented by NJM Insurance Group. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. And sponsored by Pro Team Collision.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks your summer.
93.3 WMMR, Whitesnake. We were just playing around with that song yesterday.
Do you have the original?
Let me see here. Yeah, actually, I do. Yeah, it's like... The line is, like a hobo, I was born to walk alone.
Here you go.
A little different production. That's for all the hobos here.
Yeah, Drifter's much better.
Drifter's a little bit better, yep. Later this morning, Adam Wiener will be joining us on the program. Adam is from Low Cut Connie and will be performing at the MMRBQ. So we're getting some live music around 9 o'clock from Adam, which is really cool. So looking forward to that. Now, going back to a conversation we just had in the entertainment news, there was a story, actor James Cromwell.
From Babe.
Yeah, he's a big activist, and he glued himself to a counter at a Starbucks to protest against their charging more for vegan milk. So anyway, but we started to chat about super glue and the wonderful situations you can find yourself in when you're using that.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know what, whenever I do have to use it for whatever reason to fix something, put something together, whatever it may be, I always dread it a little bit just because... There's a lot of preparation that goes into using this.
You know what I mean? No, yeah. It's like not like regular, like, paste or something. No. Yeah.
I always get a, I'll get, like, a supermarket paper bag.
Yeah.
And I will cut it open so I can flay it out flat. And that is my base to begin with. And I know going into it that no matter how absolutely careful I am, there are some things that are going to get stuck together, and usually it's on my hand, something that you get stuck to my hand.
Yes, you know? And it's always, and you always have that, and you point it out. You'll have, like, your index finger tip covered in a film of it, and then that, you'll have to wait about a good 2 years before it's finally off.
Yeah, or if you happen to, you're not just paying attention, and you put your fingers together, or you're holding something tightly that has to be, or you're squeezing what you just glued together, and then you pull your fingers back, and you're like, okay, my thumb and index finger are now glued together.
You know, I noticed you've never put that coffee mug down.
Yeah. So it's just always, I hate when I have to do it.
Yeah.
And, or if you have some, that's been sitting around from 2 years ago and you haven't used it, you pull it out and you squeeze it and just nothing comes out. It's dried out on you.
Just happened to me. And so, you know, you use a very thin needle, you know, like a very thin needle to puncture it. Right. The needle was glued solid into the opening. I couldn't remove it. It was like Excalibur, Preston, on a tiny scale.
I don't like crazy glue, though, but for that reason, because even when you use it, it's dried onto whatever you used it, and a lot of times it breaks off. But I use something called E6000. Have you guys heard of that?
So what is it? I got E6000 that at the home glue. Show.
Did you?
Yeah, it's really powerful.
So I've been using it for years. We used to use it on our dance costumes, on our salsa dance costumes, which I'll put, like, the rhinestones and all of that on, because they would never fall off. It's a little it doesn't dry as quick, I guess, as the crazy glue, so you don't have that. You will get on your fingers and stuff like that, but it almost, like, peels off, so and it won't dry as quick, so that you're not gluing your fingers together. But I always use that, or the
do you use Gorilla Glue?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, what was the Gorilla Glue? The Gorilla Glue.
Like, glued, glued her hair.
Right.
Gorilla Glue.
Gorilla Glue is very powerful, so I've used. They're all very powerful adhesives, but that's the one that I've put on two handles of coffee mugs, and it's actually worked and stayed.
Okay.
So I find that crazy glue is a little less reliable than the Gorilla glue.
It all depends. By the way, we'll take your glue stories. Feel free. 215-263-WMMR. A lot of it depends on the If you're gluing something together, the pressure you put on
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you need like a vise or something to hold it together for a while. And it'll take. But if you don't do that, you can't always count on it.
And it depends on the break, too. So if the break is conducive to the gluing process, if it's very jagged, you might have issues. But, yeah.
I remember, I think it was at the Grand Rome Mall, somebody had super glued a quarter to the floor as you're coming off of the down escalator. And whoever did it. They kind of hung out there and just laughed at everybody. That was
it you?
No. I fell for it.
Yeah.
I came off the escalator. I'm like, oh, a quarter. You know, because, you know, you might bend over and pick up a dime or a nickel. Yeah, yeah. You know, probably not a penny. But if you see a quarter on the ground, like, yeah I'm going to pick that one up.
Right.
And so it was a pretty funny gag, I guess.
By the way, speaking of adhesives and so on, you know, the... with the woo doggy, that tape,
yeah,
whatever that is,
oh, it's a sealant.
It sucks,
dude.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I had a flex tape. Yeah, a flex tape. That was it.
Because they show it like a leak through a window, and they patch it, and it stops immediately.
So on some of our pool pump equipment, I just needed a temporary fix until we had our guy come in to replace a piece.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'll go get that. Fix it. No problem, right? Maybe even I'll just leave it that
way. Yeah, because it's so damn good.
Didn't do squat.
I had a tiny little...
Wee doggy my ass.
Yeah, I had a tiny little crack in an outside shower, and it did not work at all. I was not yelling woo doggies.
Yeah, no woo doggies. Mm-hmm. In the commercial, they show, like, it's a basement window, and there's a flood situation outside, and the guy puts the ceiling around, and you can see the water a la an aquarium. It's that's how deep it is, and none of it's getting through.
Didn't work for me. Follow the instructions. Whole deal.
We doggy.
All right. Let me go to some calls here. I have Sal on the line. Yo, Sal, good morning.
You guys are bringing some traumatic
some memories back to you. What's up, Sal?
Memories from Sunday. This actually happened to me on Sunday. My daughter, who's 9, you know, wanted to make herself look pretty, so she had some fake nails for Mother's Day.
All right. Oh.
So after Mother's Day, we did the whole thing. We come back, we're cleaning up. I'm cleaning up the house, and I go throw away the nail glue. The lid was off. Oh, no. I didn't realize until I threw it in a trash can that 3 of my fingers instantly stuck together.
Oh no!
And I don't have any nail polish remover or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to CVS. I'm going to the stores with my fingers, and once that stuff hits your fingers, it turns white.
Which fingers, may I ask?
It was my index finger, my ring finger, and my
thumb.
Ring finger, the middle finger, and those 3
things. Okay. So you were walking around with the constant
Boy Scout salute. That was it.
I was definitely making those jokes, but I wasn't having fun. But it took me about a little over an hour to get off.
It was bad.
The whole thing spilled in my hands, and my daughter's laughing at me. My wife's making funny jokes, and I wasn't laughing.
What did you use to remove it, to get it off?
2 bottles of nail polish remover.
Nail polish
remover. So it seems nail polish remover is the go-to, you know. But, I mean, you couldn't pry it. It was locked, and that was it.
It was glued from fingertip to knuckle. I was the point where I was getting gasoline next. That was my next step.
Yeah, soaking in gasoline. It's like palm olive, Steve, except gasoline. Yeah, you're soaking it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, glad to hear it worked out, Sal. Thanks, man.
Thanks,
all right, we'll go next to Bernadette. Hi, Bernadette. Good morning.
Good morning. Ah, bees.
Oh, yes.
Bees!
Always. What's happening, Bernadette?
My name's Bernadette. And,
oh, sorry. Bernadette. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So Casey was talking about using the crazy glue earlier on the rearview mirror of the car. And if he noticed on the crazy glue, there's a disclaimer that specifically says, do not use for that purpose. My dad is the reason why that disclaimer is on there.
Okay.
He used the product for his mirror, and what had happened is that shortly thereafter, I guess he hit a bump or whatever the deal is, the mirror fell off again, but pulled a chunk of the glass out with it.
Windshield out with it?
Yeah.
All right, so are you not supposed to use crazy glue or super glue on glass?
I've used it on glass before.
I have. In fact, I've hung a rearview mirror, Bernadette, using... so you glue the metallic clamp on, and then you slide the mirror on top of it.
Correct.
And it stayed. You got to be very cautious about it. That it took a chunk of the glass out blows my mind.
That's my dad reached out to the company, and they replaced the windshield. And then after that, they had the disclaimer on there not to use your rearview mirror for your rearview mirror.
Isn't that how you apply? They tell you to use some sort of strong adhesive when you're resetting another rearview mirror. Isn't that you're using a glue, right?
I would think so.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Nails. Thank you, Bernadette. Might be an epoxy or something like that you have to use. I'm not really sure. Here's a text that says, so my brother's cap fell out and he attempted to glue his tooth back into his mouth.
Oh, my God.
They do not do dental work with crazy glue.
With super glue. And he doesn't have a follow-up text to that. That was just it. By the way, the guy who used to put his son's tooth in his mouth, Kathy, would he glue it?
I think so. I think that's what he was trying to do.
Explain the story, because this was a drunk day revelation that Kathy had for us.
It was a really long time ago, and I think the guy maybe had some sort of substance abuse issues. But anyway, he had a missing tooth. It had rotted out of his mouth, and instead of going to the dentist to get it fixed, his kid lost a tooth. And so he took the tooth, and I think he used denture glue.
Okay.
And he tried to put the kid's tooth in his mouth, like dead serious, a tiny baby tooth, like on the
side of his mouth. You notice anything different? Kind of foolish, Katie Coppers.
Marissa, where was the other one you just had?
Oh, yeah.
There was a text that said, my son glued the top. He says, yes, the top of his toes to our wood floor.
Oh, no.
How do you do that?
You've got to be prone.
You would have to be prone.
Yeah.
And for one reason or another, applying glue to your toes, unless there was glue on the floor, and lie down with the top of your feet on the floor.
Maybe he wanted to try, like, ballet, point. And he just wanted to get his
even that. I don't know.
Wow.
Okay. We'll go next to, let me go to, and we're going to increase in severity here.
Okay.
I have a Shuvi. Yo, Shuvi, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
Nah, you're good. What's up, buddy?
So, I used to work in woodworking, and I'd use Gorilla Glue very frequently. And one time I glued one of the drawers, that I was working with, and I put it on top of another drawer. And I came back after my lunch break, and I had to basically pry it apart because it was stuck together.
Oh, man.
And obviously, you know, you're working with different types of wood, and some woods are more sturdy, some are less. Right. But the wood that I was working with just kind of caused the drawers to disintegrate.
Yeah.
And I basically had to rebuild them from the start.
Yeah, rebuild the whole thing.
If you're using glue on wood and you don't get it right, just write that wood off. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All
right. Thanks, Shuv. Glue is used quite a bit in woodworking.
Yes, it is.
When you we were talking about, DiBella makes those cutting boards.
Yeah,
and you have to take all those different pieces together, and then you glue, and then you vise them together for a long time, and then you can cut them into shape. So it's really cool.
You just brought up something. My wife was building her beehives, and I was helping with the beehives. What you really need are all sorts of types of clamps. You got to have the clamps.
Oh,
because it's got to hold in place and hold. You can't hold it for a minute or two. You got to hold it for a while.
Yeah, for like hours.
Yeah.
All right, let me go to, all right, now we're getting into some intense stuff here. Dan on the line. Yo, Dan, good morning.
My name is Cousin Larry Appleton.
Cousin Larry Appleton.
Appleton. What's up, Dan?
Hey, so when I was 7, we were opening up our pool, and I was in the garage. We've got an inner tube out, and there was a little hole in it. And I'm like, I'll just get some super glue. So there was air pressure in the inner tube, and I start putting a little dab of super glue in it, and it blew up in my eye.
Oh! And your eye was glued shut?
Super glued shut, yeah.
Oh, God, what do you do at that point?
I freaked out a little bit, but I was kind of keeping my calm. And we went to the hospital, and they actually just did like a slow saline drip for over an hour, and it just released, and that was it.
Wow. A slow saline drip.
Okay, Dan, did it sting when it went in?
Sur- surprisingly, no. Like, my eye was shut when it happened, so it just sealed the lid shut.
Okay. All right. You got lucky it didn't get on your eyeball.
Oh, I got lucky, all right. But, yeah.
When you were in the waiting room, was there a guy sitting there with three fingers glued together?
I don't recall. It was quite some time ago. But
yeah. Wow. Man. All right, Dan. Thank you. Somebody was texting in that hot water will actually do the trick over time.
Hot water, and then somebody said brake cleaner.
Oh, like for your cars? Interesting. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. I will go to Velma next. Hi, Velma.
It's Velma. Yoo-hoo!
Wait, what's your name?
Velma.
Velma.
Oh, Velma with a B?
No, D. It's like Dalmatian with a T.
All right, got it. All right, Delma, what's your story?
So my niece does cosplay, and when she was 17, she was doing this whole full-faced cosplay, but she had her crazy glue and her regular prosthetic glue too close together. She ended up reaching for the crazy glue, and she was putting, like, a prosthetic, like, eyepiece, and the glue went onto her eyelashes. It glued her eyes shut.
Oh,
it didn't get in her eye, luckily, but she was 17 at the time, and I just made fun of her. I was like, how does a 17-year-old glue her eye shut? So we're driving to the ER because she couldn't get it open at all, because, mind you, she waited a good 5 minutes freaking out because that she glued her eye shut.
Yeah.
And we go to the ER. The doctor's laughing at her because he's like, how does this happen? Can you say that again? And she basically said she reached for her prosthetic glue, but she ended up reaching for her crazy glue. She lost, like, half of her eyelashes. around the high school with, like, partially, like, no eyelashes for, like, her good senior year.
Oh, man. How did they get it apart? What solutions
they
available?
They used this, like, chemical, and it was, like, really gunky, kind of looked like Vaseline, and it came right out. So, luckily, it didn't get in her eye.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
I was wondering if quickly she tried to think of any cosplay characters that didn't have eyelashes. she could.
Yeah, right.
One Eye Willie.
Yeah, take
Did the eyelashes grow back?
Yes, actually they did. They actually told her that they weren't going to grow back, but luckily she was good for prom.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you get close to the eyes, that's wild. Well, Delma's mentioning cosplay.
Thank you, Delma.
A lot of people will take, and this was an issue for a while, they were taking these vampire teeth, you know, that were available.
Yes,
and there was an
that's
adhesive,
right.
And they couldn't get them off their teeth.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. Here's a text that says, hi, chemist here. Super glue or cryolite was actually developed by Eastman Kodak Company in the 1950s for another reason. But in Vietnam, medics realized that they could close open wounds with the glue, and it is credited for saving many lives. And they do have glue that they use now.
Did you ever have surgery where they closed? I did when I had the prostate, removed. They everything was closed up, but the super glue, it's amazing.
A cleaner scar?
Yes.
Afterwards?
Very clean.
So if anybody's rooting around down there,
they wouldn't even know.
They wouldn't even
except
know.
Except when I failed to produce semen, they'd probably ask
me. Okay. All right, let me go next. Line 7, Casey?
Yeah.
All right, this is Travis. Hey, Travis, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Travis?
So this story from a friend of mine, it's about 15 years ago now at this point. He ran a hobby game store in the mall, and his mom drops off her, like, 10, 11-year-old kid while she wants to go shopping so he can build his models. He makes a giant mess everywhere. He's building models with super glue. It makes this huge mess. And when she comes back, like, 2 hours later, this kid throws a fit, does not want to leave, right? And in protest, slams his head on the bar where he was working and is now stuck. His mom tries to pull him. He starts screaming.
Wait, so he glued his head to the counter of the hobby store?
Absolutely, yes.
And he did it on purpose?
Not on purpose.
Oh, okay.
He just made this giant mess.
He was so mad, and he put... Oh, that's funny.
And my friend is just like, he was so done with it. He's just like, all right, I'm done. He called 911. The fire department comes out and has to take a saw and cut a chunk of the countertop out. And they wheel this kid out of the stretcher.
Steve, the fire department's here.
No. Police.
Jeez. Singing the song was mortified, right?
Yeah.
But by the end of the process, she's standing there like, yeah, my kid's an idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This isn't not in a little mall. This is in a big mall. And they're wheeling him through the mall.
I love the notion of a kid being wheeled out with part of a table glued to his head.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's hilarious.
One of the best stories from the hobby shop.
I love that. Thank you, Travis. Appreciate it. Here's a text says, do not use brake cleaner on your skin. It can cause nerve damage.
Oh, my gosh.
Good, no.
Good tip. Thank you. We appreciate that.
When you were building models as a kid, the glue that I used all the time was testers, right?
I don't remember the name. Yeah. So I just know at some point they added like this orange scent to it, and I loved that. Actually, all that model glue I loved.
Yeah.
Of course, it could get you high. I wasn't, you know, huffing it, but I loved it.
You'd always end up with a piece glued to your hand.
Always.
Or you're looking for a piece and it's glued to the back of your hand or something.
Yeah. And that stuff, it wasn't as bad as glue or super glue. So I just put it on my fingers anyway and then peel it off later on.
Like,
you know,
it was rubber. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let me go to
cement, they call it.
I'm going to go to Alex. Hey, Alex, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Alex?
Hey, so when I was around like 13 years old, I used hardware glue, and I glued my ears to my head.
Oh, my God.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I was so self-conscious about my ears sticking out, and like I was 13. Yeah.
That's adorable and goofy that you would glue your ears to your head.
All right, Alex, how long after you did it did you realize I need to undo this?
I got plastic surgery when I was about 15 or so. My mom actually was just like, listen, like...
No. I don't mean undo your ears. I mean the glue. So as soon as you glued it to your head, did you go, this was a bad idea?
Yeah. Well, actually, it started to pop out. Like, so I was 13. I glued it to my head, on my way to, like, a bat mitzvah. Because, like, that's when you had your hair all pulled up and, like, greased back and, like, butterfly clips and whatever.
Yeah.
And... so I was on this party bus on the way to the bat mitzvah, and my ears started to pop out.
Oh,
like,
oh no.
And it started to get all crusty and weird.
Oh. But you ended up getting a cosmetic surgery to fix your ear issue?
I did, yeah. Okay. When I was about 15, I got my ears, they called it pinned back. And okay.
Some people have ears that stick out inordinately far, and so they get that done. It. Yeah.
Let's see. We have time for another one?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go. Yeah, here you go. Let's go to Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Tracy?
It was a long time ago, about, I'm going to say 25 years ago, I wore contacts. So one day, and I also had, you know, nails that I went on.
Okay, so, fake nails, yeah.
Both the bottles were the same shape, and instead of picking up the eyedropper bottle, I picked up my nail glue bottle and proceeded to put it in my eye.
Oh, my God.
You glued your contacts in.
I glued my contacts into my eye and all over my eyelashes.
Oh, my God.
So how,
it was horrible.
You revolutionized the industry.
Did it hurt?
What's that?
Did it hurt?
Yes, it did.
Stung?
And it really hurt.
How did they get them out?
Huh?
How did they get them out?
Well, I couldn't drive, obviously, with one eye. So I got on the speed line and went to Will's Eye, and they just put, like, saline in it.
Yeah.
And gradually, like, just pulled my eyelashes apart.
Jeez.
With the fingers.
Wow.
That's all they did.
That's that other caller with the saline. Hang on, Casey. Did you want to guess where Tracy's from?
Well, I don't want to guess, but I don't know if I can do this, but I want to do a 5-point bet with Kathy if we can.
I'm in.
Tracy, what county are you from?
What county?
Yeah.
I'm from Gloucester County.
Okay. All right.
Oh.
All right, good.
All right, we're even.
You're either thinking, were you guys betting where she was? Yeah. Delco or Bucks?
You can tell me the action. She's from.
Yeah. She was thinking Delco. I was hoping Bucks go, but.
Thanks, Tracy.
All right, Tracy, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, you too. We'll see you later.
I don't know if we're allowed to do that, Press. I don't know if that's in the bylaws or not.
Well, no points would be awarded, but right. I am certainly interested to see if you guys can decipher by. How people speak. All right. So anyhow, thank you for the calls. We appreciate it. We got started.
Stop talking.
We got started on this because actor James Cromwell, in a protest at a Starbucks, had superglued purposely his hand to a counter.
Right.
And you see people do that from time to time. And I was just curious about people who have had little mishaps with superglue, epoxy, things like that. It happens. All right, listen, a reminder, we have a secret text word prize today. It's a Wednesday, so we have your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Record Company. They're not here until Friday, October 28th at the Union Transfer, but tickets are on sale this Friday. So text word secret, 39333, and you'll have a chance to win them. When we come back, we're going live on Fox. Yay! Good Day. We're doing the Bizarre File, and we have the opportunity to win $500 and some tickets to the MMRBQ. It's the concert cash. We're running out of time. A little more details about this here.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going live on Fox. Good day.
Oh, Preston and Steve, we have a good one for you here.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about going off on vacations. Let's imagine we're in the Caribbean.
Yes.
And we choose a place, a resort that has one of those swimming pools that has a swim-up bar.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Very convenient. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently a survey was taken, and most people who do sit on those stools end up, it's very convenient. You don't want to have to get up and go do stuff and go get a drink or anything because it's right there. They admit they pee on the stool.
Of course. Of course.
Of course.
My goodness. Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Does that mean you guys do?
We took our show to Mexico one time in Tulum, and the place was a great resort, had a swim-up bar. And I realized that none of us had left the pool for 3 hours.
Uh-huh. Wow.
As we sat there, wallowing in our own filth.
Around the room, Preston. Around the room.
Okay.
Preston?
Yes.
Did you pee?
Oh, multiple times. Absolutely. Oh, of course. Yes.
Steve?
I actually stand alongside the pool and pee into it.
Yeah, Steve doesn't even get in.
Yeah.
Full disclosure. Kath?
I don't remember, but I'm going to guess got out of the pool. Listen, I worked at pools, and I kind of know what goes into it. And as much as I get grossed out by things, that doesn't gross me out as much. I know what's in that pool.
That is a shocking admission from Kath Romano.
I know. Whatever's going in there is being killed.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh.
But when you feel the warmth, that's when I get...
Well, I don't want someone to pee on me, Alex.
No?
That's why the kids pool is always so wet.
No, you've got to...
That costs money.
It costs extra money.
Yeah, that'll cost you.
Mm-hmm.
Casey?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Same thing with Kathy. I was a lifeguard for years and years. There's so much chlorine in that pool. You're good. You're fine.
Nick?
Nick is out today.
You should have just Marissa. To be Nick.
Oh, yeah. Well, Nick, definitely.
Better,
I'll answer for him.
Does number two in the pool.
Two?
But they're little bitty ones, so we don't have to worry about them,
yeah. Probably because Kathy said she never left, I'll say I never left either.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Well, let's ask you guys.
Yeah.
Alex,
let's go around the room. Alex, you've been posting pictures of you on vacation in glorious, wonderful, exotic locations around the world. How about you?
Yeah, let's go.
No!
Oh, come on. I have it on good authority from a number of resorts that you pee in the ice machine.
Oh, my God. Mike?
We don't even need to ask him.
I certainly have peed in pools, but I don't remember sitting at a bar. doing it, but I've peed in pools. Sure.
Now I don't drink, so I'm never really sitting at the bar in a pool. Oh. But I mean that doesn't stop me. You know, listen, you consign yourself to the fact that you're in a human stew when you get into one of those things, go with it.
There's a difference, though. To me, the fact that it's all in the same area. But the ocean, now that's different, because I feel like it washes away.
By the way, fine. Whales pee in the ocean.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I'm never swimming up to a pool bar ever again.
No.
Nope.
Not doing it.
All right, I got to go pee, so I got to go.
All right, go relieve yourself. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. All right. So we skipped out on traffic. Let's go ahead and get a look at that now. Kathy, what do we got going on this morning?
It's one of those mornings where I wish I could just show everyone my screen. It's like going nuts. It's crazy. There's so much that's happening. Fortunately, some of these accidents have been cleared, but you are stopped on the boulevard both directions, northbound between Wissahickon and Broad, southbound between Broad and Roberts. There was an accident there. It is cleared, so you'll start to move again. On the Schuylkill Expressway westbound, you're stopped Passyunk all the way into Spring Garden. There was police activity. That's cleared. Also westbound slowing from City to Conshohocken, eastbound 202 into Conshohocken, and then the boulevard to Spring Garden. The Vine westbound, you're stopped the length that it was because of the police activity. That's been cleared. Eastbound slowing from the Schuylkill to 8th. 202 northbound, the off-ramp to 422 westbound remains closed. There's an overturned truck there. 30 bypass eastbound stopped between Reeseville Road and Norwood Road. However, the accident has been cleared. Pennsylvania Turnpike, westbound, slowing at Fort Washington. 95 southbound, your slow Academy through to Bridge. And then north on the Blue Road, there was an accident near Conshohocken, but that's been cleared. This traffic report brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Get animal welfare certified 80% lean ground beef for $4.99 a pound through May 17th, plus an extra 10% off for Prime members while supplies last. Restrictions apply. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, here's your concert cash keyword.
All right, the word is celebrate. C-E-L-E-B-R-A-T-E. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. Three ways for you to do it. You can text it to the special contest short code number. That's 45911 if you haven't done that yet. Or to also be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, you need to enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. And all MMR winners receive two free tickets to the MMRBQ.
Nice!
Winners will get a call from our company, Beasley. Make sure that you do answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. It is brought to you by AAA Distributor. So again, the word is celebrate, C-E-L-A-B-R-A-T-E. Good luck to y'all.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Brought to you this morning by East Coast Roofing, Siding, and Windows, serving South Jersey since 1979. If you call, they'll show up. Okay, we'll start with this crazy story. Evidence shows Joseph McKinnon strangled Patricia Dent inside the home and was burying her in the backyard when he died of a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
Ha, ha, ha. They say they discovered Joseph McKinnon's body first before finding Dent's body in a backyard pit. Neighbors in Trenton, South Carolina are left with plenty of questions after deputies responded and discovered two bodies. Dawn Hawanitz, who lives just a block up from where the bodies were discovered, said that she and her family have only been living in the area for 2 years. She says that she was concerned and didn't know that there was a danger to neighbors after those bodies were discovered. On Saturday morning, deputies responded to a call of an unresponsive man lying in his yard. Mr. McKinnon had no signs of trauma and natural causes were suspected. While investigating the death and making notifications to the next of kin, a second body was located in a freshly dug pit. Patricia Ruth Dent, 65 years old, of the same address, appeared to have died by foul play.
So karma.
On Monday, autopsies were performed on both bodies, and the cause of the death for Mr. McKinnon was confirmed to be a cardiac event. Ms. Dent was also found to have died by strangulation. Evidence gathered at the scene led to the investigators that Mr. McKinnon attacked Ms. Dent while inside. Sounds like he might have been out of shape while he was trying to dig that hole.
If you are going to bury your victims, your family members, in shallow graves, hire someone who's in shape.
Mr. McKinnon then bound her and wrapped her in trash bags before putting her in the previously dug pit. The pit was then partially filled in by Mr. McKinnon. While covering the pit, Mr. McKinnon had a cardiac event causing his death.
It's just wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of wild, a passenger with zero flying experience safely landed a private plane in Florida at an airport Tuesday afternoon when the pilot became incapacitated.
It's just amazing.
We'll play some audio in just a second here. As the situation unfolded, the passenger could be heard telling air traffic control that he doesn't know how to fly a plane.
I've got a serious situation here. My pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane, but I'm explaining and now 100.
He's gonna... 333 Lima Delta, Roger. What's your position?
I have no idea. I can see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea.
Yeah, he said you can just see the Florida coast.
Yeah.
He's remaining very calm,
yeah,
which is pretty wild.
What was the situation with the pilot?
He is incoherent. He is out.
Oh, 3 Lima Delta, Roger. Try to hold the wings level and see if you can start descending for me. Push forward on the controls and descend at a very slow rate.
This was later on because they first just tried to keep him. They couldn't find him
Right, to see where he was.
So they said, just keep flying straight.
What the
we're
hell?
We're going to try to locate you, and then we're going to get you where you need to be. But eventually they start talking him down.
You just witnessed a couple passengers land that plane. Man, they did a great job.
Did you say the passengers landed the airplane?
That's correct.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, great job.
No flying experience. We got a controller that worked them down. That's a flight instructor.
Yep.
Is that amazing?
So the air traffic controller was also a flight instructor and managed to talk him down to a landing.
He talked to a reporter afterwards, Preston.
I just, in instances like this, I think of myself and how they would have, like, there's no talking. I would have been like, this is it. I'm jumping. Like,
right.
Give me help.
There's one parachute. I'm taking it.
I'm taking it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to use a parachute.
My wife's uncle has a Cessna, and we were in Sweden, and we went took us up flying, and he let me pilot the aircraft for most of the flight and actually let me bring it in for the landing.
Wow.
And the only thing that I did not do was control the throttle.
Right,
I
right.
I was using the pedals and the yoke to get it down, and it's pretty freaky.
No
but
way.
I think with somebody instructing you... Things are, it's not overly complicated. You've just got to do what they tell you.
Well, these passengers
oh my God.
Kept their cool the
it's
way they did.
Unbelievable.
I mean, based on the way I'm teaching my daughter how to drive, I could totally.
You could talk somebody down.
I could talk somebody
easily.
Yeah.
So two people are aboard the single engine Cessna 208 when the pilot had a possible medical issue. The FAA. Said in a statement, the condition of the pilot was not immediately known, but we're gonna have a follow up on that.
Yeah, I'm sure
that's crazy. A suspect in an attempted burglary was killed in a Sunday night fire. Police were called. This is in Washington State. Police were called to a burglary in progress after a homeowner called 911 to report that a man tried to push his way into their house and then ran into the woods south of the home. Police arrived. They started searching the area for the man, who was reportedly in his underwear when he tried to burglarize a home. I don't know why he felt the need to do that.
Because it just feels freer.
But listen to this. A deputy then spotted the man breaking into a horse trailer. As they were waiting for backup to arrive, smoke was seen coming from inside the trailer. Deputies called for the man to come out, but he stayed inside. Firefighters arrived. They put out the fire. The man was dead inside the trailer. He started a fire in there, and it killed him.
So the murderer takes care of himself by having a heart attack, and this thief burns himself to death.
Yeah.
It's all taken care of itself.
Forensic investigators and the fire marshal were called to the scene to investigate the death. And we'll do one more story. Police have arrested a woman, they say, stripped and urinated on the floor of a Walmart after going on a profanity-laced tirade through the store and hitting an employee.
So I thought that was an employee.
No. But in other words, it was a standard night at a Florida.
Yeah. In fact, it was
Georgia
slow.
Walmart. Yeah. So police...
It was a slow night. Yeah, we had one piss situation.
Police say April Barrow was searching for prophylactics.
Of course, and sometimes you just have to take a piss.
At around 6:30 a.m. when she started cursing at employees and throwing things at them. Witnesses said she then punched an employee.
I got a man at home.
A witness and employee told police Barrow allegedly struck her multiple times in the arm with a closed fist. Witnesses reported to police that Barrow took her clothes off and then urinated on the floor.
Do you sell Daisy BB guns?
Employees escorted her from the building. Beryl was putting her clothes back on as police arrived.
Do you have live bait?
They were able to see what Beryl did inside the store when they reviewed surveillance video. She was charged with two counts of simple battery, public indecency, and a disorderly conduct.
You just got to love Walmart. How many times has Walmart generated a great Bizarre File story?
Yep. And that is what we have in the Bizarre File for you for now, my friend. All right. Don't forget, you have about 5 minutes left to enter the word celebrate. That is our concert cash keyword for the day, or for this hour, I should say, because we do it, you know, eight times today. So text that word right now, celebrate, to 45911, or go through the app or WMMR.com. We're going to take a break. I'm excited about this. We have a screening, these are a pair of Fandango tickets to see the movie Firestarter.
I'm very excited
about this. I recently, within the past year, read the novel. It is so good, and I hope that they do it justice, and they probably will. Friday the 13th is when the movie opens. So it's a Stephen King novel, and also it's from he and Blumhouse, producer of The Invisible Man. Universal Pictures presents Firestarter. So we'll take callers 9, 10, and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. And it will be streaming on Peacock Friday as well.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Let's get you on board. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a moment. And don't forget, we are going to have in the studio performing live Adam Wiener of Low Cut Connie in a little bit. So we'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Pretty Reckless. Ghost, Mammoth, Wolfgang Van Halen,
new music, more of everything that rocks
on 93.3 WMMR.
Don't forget, we have a secret text for a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see The Record Company Friday, October 28th. And that's a ways off, but the tickets go on sale this Friday, so that's the thing. They'll be at Union Transfer, so text word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win a little bit later on. Steve sent me this story this morning. I was really bummed out to hear this. Never met this man in my life, but he is important nonetheless, or was. He passed away. Richard, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Negri, I think is how you say it, N-E-I-G-R-E. He was the founder of Primo Hoagies, and he passed away 65 years old.
Oh, wow, young.
Like,
way too young.
Suddenly.
Yes, complete surprise.
Yeah, it was Thursday. He and his family live in Sewell, New Jersey. And, he apparently, his family said it might have been due to a blood clot from vascular problems that he had. But I was really bummed out to hear this, man. And reading through this, getting the story of how they got their start is really inspiring, because they just he followed after something that he a little just an idea he wanted to make good on, and or you know to follow through on, and it ended up getting way bigger than they ever thought it would.
Yes,
you know,
I mean, just watching, you know, over the years that, you know, I've been going and watching the amount of stores increase, but yet the quality stayed consistent throughout all of them.
And here's the article. I'll read some of this for you. Richie Negri and his wife Colleen opened their deli on Rittner Street in South Philly. They had just a few sandwiches available, and even then, Richie, also known affectionately as Primo, would sit on the stoop of their modest store and encourage people to try his food. Colleen said he would say to people, "If you like it, spread it around. If you don't, just don't say anything." And then nearly 30 years later, that small deli has transformed into Primo Hoagies and has gone from a Philly staple to a nationwide chain. I didn't know how far out
it is. Oh, it's nationwide.
That it had spread. So,
I didn't realize that.
Me either.
I do know that I would have starved to death without Primo, because I go there quite often.
Yeah.
I just think that the consistency has always been there.
It's
with
key.
Them,
it's
right?
key.
And
you
it
know,
is key.
You know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
So the worst is when you get geared up. Oh, I'm looking forward to this, and it doesn't live up to it. You never have that with Primo.
Yeah, I used to do a silly thing, and I would get the small sandwich.
Why
the Primo is so big, it's too much for one sitting for me, but the bread is so much better for that Primo size. And I'm not saying the small is bad.
No.
The Primo is just better.
Yeah.
So, and so now I get that every time, and I only eat half of it.
Yeah. So here's my methodology. I have them scoop the roll
right,
so that I can get more of the stuff in there. You're right. If I were to go like with a Diablo, like a tuna Diablo, or something with all the stuff, two meals out of that sandwich. The way I eat it, you know, trimmed down and scooped, one is fine.
Yeah, I used to do tuna Diablo, and now I do turkey Diablo.
So, by the way, Colleen said, I've never been alone in my life since him. They've been together for nearly 43 years.
Aww.
They met, she was 14 years old, and he was 16.
Aww.
And he had worked with her father, who was a lumber distributor at the time. They got married in 1979. And when they were young and looking for a home in South Philly, they saw a model that Colleen loved but didn't think that they could afford. And Mr. Negri told her that within a year they would be living in that house. Skeptically, she watched as he made good on that promise. And within a year, he had built a replica of the house that she fell in love with. And she said, he gave me a life that I never expected.
I love it.
He was one of three sons of Mario and Emma Negri. The father died when Richard was only 12 years old. So he really grew up most of his life without a dad.
Yeah. Self-made.
A single-parent household without much money, didn't finish high school, but he was always working and providing for his family. Throughout the marriage, he worked a number of jobs, including at the Philadelphia Journal, a Super Sneaker, and All-Star Stores. And from each boss, he learned more about the business, and the couple opened their first deli in 1992. And soon after the popularity of their sandwiches spread, they opened up a second location in Center City in 1996. Hard to believe it was just, because 1996 seems like yesterday to me.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that that was when their second location popped up.
Yeah.
By 1999, they expanded to four, including one in South Jersey. And around 2001, business really picked up and they started franchising. Now there's nearly 100 Primo Hoagies around the country.
I would love to own a franchise of Primo Hoagies.
Me too.
Yeah, and I've talked about it before. It's attainable, affordable, and I, you know, at the time where I was, I guess there's a certain amount of mileage or area that needs to be in between.
You can't be encroaching on another area,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Or shouldn't. It's just not wise. But yeah, it seems like one of the. The product speaks for itself, and also you don't need... Some places have a lot of eat-in space, but a lot of times you can just get by with just a very little bit. People are taking out all the time.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody pointed this out. Remember the day, National Hoagie Day, when they brought by all those sandwiches and giveaways? Yeah. That's the day he died.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. On National Hoagie Day.
Well, there's a certain poetry to that.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of franchises, you know what? That'd be great, and it would be successful. But you have to actually work really hard.
Yeah.
You know. Is there a way to buy a franchise and have somebody else do all the work for you?
I think there is. I think it's part of the deal. I'll tell you this.
Pay someone.
So mine are the Roxborough and Chestnut Hill are the ones that I go to the most often. And the people that run them seem engaged and happy.
Yeah. Well, and they're definitely working. That's the thing. They're working hard. When I go in, there's one in Harleysville, so obviously that's the one I go to.
You go like on a game day or something where there's a party day.
Yeah.
And those places are packed.
Casey, the day that we found out they were building one, we're like, oh my God! Like right here? Uh-huh. You're kidding me? We don't have to drive anymore to get one.
Yeah.
So that was pretty damn awesome. So, by the way, after they got 100 of them up and running over, or there's nearly 100 of them, it's still the family business. Daughters Colette and Audrey operate different stores in the South Philly and South Jersey area. Their husbands, nephews, uncles, and others joined the business over the years, so he was bringing everybody along.
Yeah, it's great.
The business grew, and according to his daughter Colette, she said he always made sure that everyone... that he knew had everything they needed always. It wasn't even a question. She remembered her father as someone who loved music, especially Prince and the Rolling Stones, and always had his own timeline for doing things as well. He had to have been an MMR fan, I would imagine.
I would hope so.
He was big into the Stones. He's probably a big, you know, listener to Pierre.
And I returned the favor by eating tons of food from the place.
One of her favorite memories of her father was her 16th birthday. He had rented out a theater for the entire family for the premiere of the first Spider-Man movie in 2002. And they walked into the theater, and he pointed out a car that matched the one she had been wanting for a long time. And she said, he looks at me and goes, isn't that your car? Isn't that the car you want? And she said, yeah. Well, happy birthday. There you go. Pretty awesome, right? In addition to his wife and daughters, Mr. Negri is survived by Brother Joseph, four grandchildren, and other relatives. A brother, Mario, died previously. And since it's a local story, visitation is tomorrow at Agizi Funeral Home in Washington Township. A funeral mass will be Friday at St. Monica Roman Catholic Church in Philadelphia.
So think of the business, like Primo from here. Think of Wawa, the businesses that have, you know, originated here and moved on and that are you know.
Rita's.
Yeah.
Is Rita's nationwide?
Yeah.
It is?
It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
I mean, listen.
They're expanding. Wawa's not on the West Coast yet.
No.
But you're saying Primo does, or do we know if they make it to the nationwide?
I have no idea where their locations are. I'm curious where Rita's are. I thought Rita's was just around here.
And New Jersey, the tri-state area. Yeah, it's definitely expanding. And so I don't know how far south, how far north, and how far west it goes. But it is definitely an expanding franchise.
Well, it's sad to hear this, man, especially a younger guy.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of expanding out west, Case, I saw this story this morning. You'll find this interesting, and maybe you already know, but I think like within the next couple of weeks, the Schuylkill River Trail is going to be completed, and it's going to go all the way to, is it going to Redding?
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it essentially ends like at Oaks, and then from Oaks, it splinters off to, like, there's a Phoenixville Trail. There's another one that goes up to essentially where you're at, Preston. And I have gone off on a couple of the splinter trails, but they kind of end. And the one in particular that goes through the park at Oaks, there's a park that's opposite where the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center is, Preston, if you know what I'm talking about. There's a giant field.
Okay,
so I've gone off that, and the problem for me is that at a certain point it becomes a gravel trail, and I don't like riding my bike because I got these like road tires.
Right.
So I kind of had to stop there, but I know that on the other side of that gravel trail is another paved trail.
So it goes all the way out to Redding now.
Yeah, so now they're going to link that all together. They're going to fix up the join those, you know, broken parts and put it all together, and so it's 40 miles.
Okay.
So... Yeah.
So
you could do an 80-mile ride, dude. I mean, that's the center city, you know, if you wanted to start there.
Right. So when you get to, like, past the Kelly Drive towards Manayunk, the trail essentially is Main Street in Manayunk. And then and if you want to stay on
really?
The trail. Yeah. So once you get over Green.
There's a trail that goes along the river. The
towpath?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then,
that's a tough one.
You know where Restoration Hardware you know where the Restoration Hardware is?
It ends
there and then you're on the road, but also when you get past Green Lane where the Royal Grill used to be, there's a path there, but that is also gravel. So you don't want to ride a road bike on the gravel trail, so you got to kind of go up and
suck at gravel.
Yeah. But then it Mequon is where it becomes paved again, but I love riding that trail. It's
I love these great things. I think, doesn't Philly stand out as having the most, and I'm talking about Philly proper, the most park space of any major city in the country? I'm going to say, don't believe it,
okay,
but I believe that's the case.
Isn't Fairmount Park the biggest park in the country?
That's the biggest in city park.
In city park, it's bigger than Central Park.
I can see that.
Aren't expansive.
We the home of the Eiffel Tower, and I don't know if I'm. Yes, I thought so. Thank you.
Oh no, it's coming.
You
in
mean the sexual position?
Yes.
It originated here in Philadelphia.
Two guys. Yeah.
Yes, exactly, and a woman.
But there are a lot of people out
there.
Yes. That love the idea of riding bikes and doing it for exercise and not just for like touring and tooling around, but feel very very unsafe on the street and on the road. And I
because
get
of cars, right?
Because of cars, and you know, and listen, I've been on the giving and the receiving end of some.
Nasty comments and
arguments on the road. And there's some moments that I'm not necessarily so proud of, and then other moments where I'm like, yo, you got to, like, chill out. Yeah, I mean, listen, I ride down the shore all the time, and I had this guy, we were going over a bridge, okay, a drawbridge, and the drawbridge was up, and this guy honks his horn at me and then blows around me just to, you know, 50 yards, stop at the top of the drawbridge for 10 minutes. And I'm like, why are you honking your horn at me? You know, and so you have moments like that.
Right.
And then you have the other moments where, you know, you make a mistake and you end up like cutting somebody off or whatever. And so because of that, Steve, I think people, you know, having a Schuylkill River Trail is really great.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a couple of tough bike lanes in the city. Like, if you're going down the parkway, there's one point when literally the bike lane is just meant to, like, cut through traffic. But nobody knows it because they're not looking at the green lane in front of them. They're looking at the stoplight and the people crossing and all the flags and the trees and all. There's just...
Right.
But it's my favorite way to get around the city. Like,
ride
the
bike?
Yeah, I actually do those Indigo bikes. Over the Christmas time, they did a like $100 for a year membership, so I can just use it freely. For
you just
$100.
Grab a bike off of the bike rack and go.
Sit
and
down on the gunnery and start pedaling.
Thanks to Kathy, I always carry a wipe with me, and I wipe it down. But it's great. You just I have like 60 minutes, and you know I can get anywhere
like
in like
show.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Do they have? Because when I was in Paris, it was crazy, Steve. There were just these electric scooters sitting on the sidewalk.
Right.
And you would rent them.
It wasn't a share program. You just stole one.
Now, they've done that in a few cities around here. Baltimore did it for a while. We were visiting there one time. And sure enough, you just leave it.
Yeah.
It's an app, I think, that you...
I saw this footage out of San Francisco.
But they've slowed that down.
They have a product share program in a lot of the stores where you see people going in with, like, garbage bags.
Yeah.
And you can just take stuff.
Just take whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
It's amazing.
You have to give it back at some point.
I don't know about that.
So I think the scooter thing slowed down. And I don't know if any. I haven't read much about them in the past couple of years.
What is it? The hovercraft?
The hoverboard.
What do they call hoverboard?
Segways.
Segways, right? Yeah. Is that still a thing in the city?
Yeah, they do Segway tours. Yeah, they're still there. Yeah, but I mean, you don't see people scooting around on their own Segways. I don't think that often.
No, now you see a lot of those like one wheel things.
Right,
and those are expensive, man.
Well, they're like $2,000. I've been tempted to check those out. The one with the big wheel in the middle.
Yeah, my neighbor Crazy Carl has one, but like Carl is, you know. And
he's crazy.
No, but he also is a like a former, like he knows your boyfriend, Marissa, because he used to do like X Games type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's a skateboarder. He's, you know, like
he knows
so,
what he's doing.
So he knows what he's doing and he makes it look really easy. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'm not sure the date on it, but they're going to open that up. You're going to have a
very
nice
cool
long trail
I'm
completely
excited
from
about
city
that
out to Reading. I saw this other story, which I thought was interesting. Maybe you guys caught this. Apple has killed off the iPod Touch, the last remaining product in its line of portable media players.
Wow.
So the iPod, per se, is now gone.
This show, the President Steve Show, I think you and I both got first-gen Apple iPods. When they came out with the clicking wheel and the whole thing.
I almost brought mine in today. I still have it. I know exactly where it is.
I have it as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, I haven't been able to charge it. I haven't used it in forever, but I just kept it as a memento because it was so cool.
Yeah.
And that actually got me back to listening to music a lot more than I had been. And I remember how cool that thing was. And how many iPods have you had over the course of your life?
A lot.
A ton.
Between
the smaller versions and the larger versions. And
I eventually had the Shuffle and then the really, really tiny one.
Yeah.
That was almost
so
the size of a stamp.
Yeah.
That was called the iPod. Oh, man, it had a really short name to it.
It wasn't
a Switch.
Nano.
What?
It wasn't Nano, right?
No, I think that was it.
Was it
Nano? Yeah, I think it was the iPod Nano,
So that those were used, Preston. A lot of swimmers. Like, I got one for... my wife, and she would put it in an airtight thing that would go on her goggles, and she could listen to it, you know, and it was great. But I mean, now a lot of people aren't, you know, they just don't use them.
I've never had one.
Never had an iPod.
I never had one.
I gave you a Zune a long time ago. I'd be amazed if you used that. Yeah,
because I always worked here at the radio station since they've existed, and I refused to pay for music.
I was just going to ask. I forget. How do we get music on the iPods?
Your laptop,
iTunes.
Yeah. Before iTunes? They didn't really have the apps.
Yeah,
so you would sync it up to your laptop, and you would be ordering it through. There was an app through your laptop.
Your laptop used to have a CD drive, and you would burn
stuff.
And then drag and drop. It used to be really easy.
I remember mine was Green Apple. It had my name engraved in the back, and I was in West Palm Beach, Florida, and I had just gone for a jog, and I went to unplug it from my headphones, and it went flying into the pool.
Oh, no.
And that was a death sentence.
That was the end of it.
Yep. Start drinking.
And I think I did.
Oh, man.
Wine forever.
So, yeah, the iPod helped build modern Apple, moving it from an underdog computer company into the brand as it is known today. But it also has been slowly dying out, killed by the iPhone itself. Actually, another product that they created that borrowed many of the same features.
Just incorporated right in there.
When it was released a few years later.
And if you remember, Preston, the iPod wasn't the first. They had, like, the Rio player, the MP3 players. It's just that the iPod did it way better.
Yeah.
Now, Apple says the iPod Touch would no longer be available. All of the rest of the lineup, such as the iPod Classic and iPod Nano, have already been phased out. The iTunes software used to load songs onto the iPod was also discounted some years ago. And Apple is focused on streaming music rather than buying it online, with much of its focus being on Apple Music, because that was the way it was. You would buy. Yeah. I mean, I still have iTunes gift cards that I never use.
So
can I use them for anything?
Yeah, you can pay your IRS bill with it.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
You
learn that,
that the government takes iTunes credits.
They're probably just good in the Apple Store for any app or anything like that.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah, that's true. Could do that. So the Touch will still be available to buy while stocks last, but then they will no longer be on sale. I think I heard on the news this morning that, Steve, if you have the Generation 1 iPod, which we still have, if you would like to sell it, you can probably get about $400 for it.
Really?
Oh, wow.
If it is brand new and in the package,
no.
It's like $25,000.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah. So mine is not brand new and in the package. No. And it says, you know, it's been scuffed up a bit. But that, listen, that I really love that freaking thing. And I've had, I'd say overall, between all the various versions, probably like 15 of them, you know, different sizes and different units.
Yeah, I think I've three altogether.
It was also
maybe four. That second one was thinner and easier to carry around.
I got my wife one that had it was engraved in the back. I think Steven Singer might have done it for me too.
Oh, no kidding. Yes,
but it's a lot of great memories.
I remember when we first started podcasting, if we would export it at too high of a bit rate, and then people would have to erase music off of their iPod to download our podcast to listen to it.
How many gigs is this iPod?
Yeah,
because you had to make sure you had room.
Yeah, and you remember the slogan is we've pulled up on a picture here, 1,000 songs in your pocket. And if you think about it at the time, that was a revolutionary statement. I mean, because, you know, you couldn't even keep 1,000 songs in your car on CDs. You know, if you did, it just took up way too much space.
Do you remember then they had, you could put your pictures on it. Do you remember that? Like your photographs? I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's a predecessor to the iPhone.
Right. And then movies. And then all that begot the iPad, which is still doing well.
So Greg Joswiak, Apple's Senior Vice President of Worldwide Marketing, said today, the spirit of iPod lives on. We've integrated an incredible music experience across all of our products, from the iPhone to the Apple Watch to HomePod Mini, and across Mac, iPad, and Apple TV, and Apple Music delivers industry-leading sound quality with support for spatial audio. There's no better way to enjoy, discover, and experience music. But the iPod Touch has always been somewhat of an outlier since it sat somewhere between the iPhone, and a traditional iPod. It was able to connect to Wi-Fi and therefore stream from Apple Music and other services, but it didn't have, you know, cellular connection.
Right.
So it couldn't do so on the move. You had to be connected to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, as you said earlier, the phone killed it.
Yep. As such,
y'all killed it.
As such, its position within Apple's lineup has always been a little bit unusual, but it was able to continue even as other iPods were phased out. But they are going to be doing away with that.
That is sort of a bittersweet thing, you know, because it was so much fun.
Yeah, and it was revolutionary.
I remember years. I mean, we were talking about was it LimeWire?
Yeah, LimeWire
and Napster. Remember when that? Oh my God!
Oh yeah, when
there's a whole new world of stealing music available.
But the thing about Napster, the thing was so great about that and revolutionary at the time is that since it was file sharing, you could grab from other people's libraries.
Yeah,
and I was able to find songs because at the time, finding music was not easy. Mm-hmm. You had to go to a store. You had to sift through everything and find what you were looking for. And if they didn't have it, they didn't have it. And you had nowhere to go. If it was out of print, you couldn't get it. I found songs that I hadn't heard in a dozen years or more.
You'd sit there. You're like Indiana Jones.
One hit wonders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way this will be in here. And you type in the title. I remember there's an obscure kind of pop semi-radio hit from a band called Bourgeois Tag.
Yes.
And I'm like,
Bourgeois Tag.
Yeah, and I'm like, it'll never be there. And I pull it up, and there it is! oh my God, it's called I Don't Mind at All. And I was like, this is outstanding. This is amazing. You could find anything you wanted to. And then we realized we were taking money out of artists' pockets.
Yes.
Yeah. Eventually.
And then Metallica.
And didn't care at the time because, you know, these are famous musicians and who cares? But after a while, you see the reality of it.
Yeah.
And that the fact that they certainly deserved the payment, and now, you know, they've got issues with streaming and so on.
Sure. He asked about the percentage, but...
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's it.
It's a great song.
Did you just pull that up? Yeah. So now you can find anything.
Yeah.
Anytime, whenever you want. So.
It's a beautiful song.
I don't know this one.
This is one of my favorites. You have good taste, Preston.
Thank you, sir.
Aww.
Bourgeois tag.
I like it.
It's a ballad, so anyway.
I like it, that.
So they're phasing that out. But listen, I saw this other thing that speaks to technology, Steve, and I'm gonna have to dig to find this because I
the Sibian.
Oh my God, are you in the drone?
No, not the Sibian.
Are you the stream of consciousness there?
No, well, I got whatever.
Oh,
man.
Well, then we got something for that,
dude.
You're the stream of consciousness.
I try not to overuse these. But it was a... Damn it. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Okay.
So Microsoft could soon remove the biggest barrier standing between gamers and its Xbox cloud gaming service. The company will reportedly release a streaming stick described as possibly resembling an Amazon Fire Stick or Roku-like puck that would remove the need to buy a console.
I'm going to release my streaming stick. You know.
A barrier to entry that has been particularly tricky to overcome during the online ongoing chip shortage. But similar to a Roku stick, the small device would plug in your TV's HDMI port and give you access to the Xbox Cloud Gaming Service, which includes hundreds of games through Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, along with TV shows, movies, and other media. But the bottom line is, you wouldn't need to buy a console if you didn't want to.
So I have some people this is fine for, and Apple has their own gaming section, and Google has their own games, and they're all trying to compete in this market. So I just recently got a PS5, and if you have the hardware that can run it, some of these games are very demanding. So something like this might not be able to handle very intense.
Well, it depends
games.
On what you're now. So, if you are a professional gamer,
right,
you're not going to want to use
this. No,
because there may be latency, and you can't have latency if you're using it for that.
Most people who are really hardcore into it with Twitch accounts and things like that usually have PCs.
But the bottom line is for the consumer that doesn't have $1,000 to spend on a system, this is perfect.
Right.
You know, so I don't know what a price will be on this.
You can get, like, for example, with the PS5, you can get one that accepts physical media. I still put game discs in, and then one that's just a streaming unit. And so I'm going to guess probably in the 200 range.
Don't know.
Yeah.
They haven't said. So it's it's going to be available within the next 12 months. They are guesstimating at that. But the bottom line is it'll have to be priced competitively and deliver compelling gameplay as well, according to this article that I'm reading. But, yeah, for those who don't want to, you know, fork out all that money. And listen, I think eventually it's going to get to where there probably aren't going to be any physical games that you have to buy anymore.
Right.
It's mostly there.
The one thing is right now is that for a lot of the gamers, they use that to trade and to trade in and to get other new games. But it is going that way.
Right.
Again, with the release of a PS5 unit that's all streaming, yeah, they're on their way.
So, Steve, obviously VR is huge right now.
And
it's getting better. And I love it. And, Press, you play the Oculus as well as I do.
Yeah.
And so that's something you put on your head. The only thing I don't like about it is, like, the more, like, movement and interactive the game is, the more I sweat, and I don't like that.
Wait, yeah. And I just found out that there's actual workouts on there.
Oh, yeah.
How are you not, like, falling over?
Falling over or sweating through, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
You got to have a good, clear room to do it
in. Well, let me explain to Kathy. There's a virtual barrier that you build. And if you start to move your body in a certain direction,
it clears the lens or something.
No, it'll show a virtual barrier in front of you, like almost a cage.
Got you.
And you know, okay, I got to stop moving in that direction.
And by the way, it can be tailored. Like, it'll literally do the contours of a couch so that you
so that you know where
you
are.
Yeah, you can fix the barrier to any shape you want it to be. Okay. So, but they've got that covered. That doesn't mean that people aren't doing stupid stuff and running into walls.
I love that.
You have to pay attention while you're playing the game. But, yeah, it can be done. Yes. And there are games, Kathy, where I will sweat my ass off. But I like that.
Are they games that where you're sweating?
Physical,
or are they, or are they actually, like somebody told me it was an actual workout.
Yeah, yes. Some of them are specifically designed for working out.
I would like to do that.
So we're looking at some of them. There's like some punching games that you have to crouch and do certain movements.
And I don't mind sweating, Press. It's the sweating into the gear that I don't like.
Okay.
Well, the wrap, put a towel in it when you put it on.
Well, so, but I was sort of leading into a different question, Steve. Do you ever foresee a gaming system or that you would be immersed in that is more of a room?
Well, we're right there. So I see what you're saying. So the free flow of air and so on and so forth.
Yes, yeah, so you're not putting anything on your head. You're literally walking into the game, and you're now immersed in all sides.
I do, but if you're talking like price point and things like that, and so even with the Oculus and the PlayStation VR, I still really enjoy sitting down with a controller, Preston, and not, you know, and just playing a game that way.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And that's but I don't get to do it often. But yeah, I think. If they can make it inexpensive and allow you to do that so you don't, for people who are also with eyeglasses and other concerns, make it a little bit more feasible. I think the real next revolution is the haptic gloves and the things that will mimic holding something and moving and walking on a traveling
mat. How close to that are we?
We're right there. It's just making it cost effective.
There's I printed it up, but it's in the other room. They've created this VR tennis racket. Did you see this thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
And see what it uses?
No.
So it uses air to simulate when a ball hits.
I just saw that they had developed, but that's it's using a brush of air?
As you're going forward, a jet of air will shoot out in the opposite direction and push your arm back.
What?
So it gives you resistance. As if you get a tactile sensation of hitting the ball. Yep. So it's pretty wild. So they're coming up with these technological advances for gaming and for besides that for real world simulation scenarios and so on. So it's really amazing stuff.
So I played,
but it'll be a while before it's just easily compact and easy to take into your house.
Well, look, the big thing when I can't believe I forgot the first. It came with bowling and
the Wii.
The Wii.
Yep.
And I still have one of those in the house. But that was it. The Wii's going to control this. Yeah. Everything is going to be about this. And then the Xbox had their own unit.
The Kinect system,
mm-hmm. Right? And so all of that. But not a lot of people use that anymore. So you got to make it seamless.
Yeah. You know? Well, the stuff gets surpassed with our technology. We just got rid of all our Kinect stuff.
Yeah.
We still have the Wii though, because there's a couple of Zelda games you can only play.
Right. Yeah.
So we still have that, and Carter will break it out every now and then. In honor of Nick, who's not here today.
Still haven't played golf together yet.
I know we need to do that,
right?
Yeah. So in the Oculus, you can join other people and play games. So I thought we did it one time. No, maybe I did that with Steve, my buddy. So. Yeah, it's great. You can join each other.
That's the cool
remotely
thing.
Right. And play games and we could play a round of golf.
Yeah, but awesome. What isn't taking off is Facebook's Meta. That whole world.
Yeah.
You know that? So that's basically you live in a virtual, you're using your social media in a virtual world where you're not just an avatar, and there's similar. PlayStation tried something like that with their there's sort of home screen where you would go to a town and and you go do different things. And the metaverse is not really catching on the way Facebook had hoped.
One more thing that kind of ties in because it's tech related. Do you remember the Calder Fire in Tahoe and all that burned, tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah.
So coming up with 4th of July this year. A lot of places are rethinking fireworks because it's dry again.
Yeah.
And so they are saying that with all that taking place, instead of fireworks, a lot of places are going with drone shows.
Oh. Drone shows are cool.
Yeah.
They're amazing. I've never seen one in person. I've never seen like the full, where they just light up the sky.
Only seen video.
With images. I've seen video. It looks incredible.
If you don't do the fireworks and you want that sort of, couldn't you set the forest on fire?
That's a hell of a firework,
right
there. But here's a couple of examples. Incline Village and the neighboring California towns of Kings Beach and Tahoe City switched to drones after the Calder Fire burned for 69 days. And, of course, it scorched 221,000 acres and evacuated 50,000 people. But a typical drone show has no bombs bursting in air, but dozens or hundreds of tiny lit flying machines executing maneuvers to music, forming improbable, multicolored, and shifting designs suspended in the night sky.
It's astonishing what they can do.
Oh,
I saw
God.
One, I think it was out of Taiwan, where they had the drones going, Preston, and what they were doing was animating a giant walking across the skyline.
Amazing.
And it is mind-blowing. And
while I was reading the story, they had like a giant, like Pac-Man game board. It looked real, man. It looked like that Pac-Man was real. So... the dozens of July 4th drone shows scheduled this year amount to a fraction of the 16,000 displays that fireworks industry estimates it will put on for the holiday. But a guy named Jeff Clarmo, who is vice president of sales for Pixies Drones, said his company receives inquiries every day and tells callers he can't help because they are too busy.
I wonder if fireworks companies, and I love a great fireworks display, but I wonder if just to kind of get ahead of this, if they start incorporating drones as something that they'll offer as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the crew that can handle the fireworks, I'm sure they can handle the drones.
So generally this place, Verge Aero, charges $25,000 minimum for a drone spectacular.
Oh, so we should do that then.
By comparison, a small town can put on a fireworks display for $15,000 to $20,000. On the high end, though, Verge Aero can do a $100,000 show. Well, big city fireworks displays can easily top $1 million.
Is that right?
So in some instances, it might be more economical if you have a big city budget that they can hire a drone company. I wonder if there are any in our area.
There'd have to be.
I mean, Camp Out for Hunger, come on.
Yeah.
We could do something, right?
Yeah. You were sick last year.
And I missed the fireworks display.
That fireworks display rocked. And the great thing, too, Preston, is that it was done over the parking lot. So the only thing it would do was set cars on fire.
And
that's it.
They made it for us.
Yeah. They made
it
for us.
Celebration fireworks.
Oh, those guys are the best. The giant... mushroom cloud.
Oh, the fireballs.
Fireballs.
Oh, my God.
And they came off during Fall Out Boy songs. Like, light it up, light it up.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm on fire.
By the way, Celebration Fireworks, if you pool your money with some neighbors or a community.
You can do it.
You can hire these guys.
You can do it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little more affordable than I thought it would be.
They have different packages, but so you don't do maybe a 15-minute presentation.
You can do a 10-minute or something like that. And drones are an interesting replacement for places that might find it dangerous.
Or if you have, like, some sort of weapon, just go out and shoot it in the air, because a lot of people apparently choose to do that.
Yeah, you know, they recommend you don't do it.
Yeah, I shouldn't have suggested that.
Anyhow, that's all I have time for. So this was, I guess, the stream of consciousness nerve. All right, we're going to have to wrap up. We do have our guest in the Acme Lounge as we speak.
Oh, very nice.
And live music is what we have in store for you when we return. So we will get Adam Wiener in here from Low Cut Connie, who are going to be at the MM Barbecue. Make sure you stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Want to see something funny?
Or maybe really messed up?
Well, watch The Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com. It's a sight to behold.
Or something like that.
From 93.3 WMMR.
The MM Barbecue is a week from this Saturday.
Wow, how about that, man?
Which is just mind-boggling. I was thinking about it this weekend. And, it's upon us. We're getting there. We're excited about it, and we're finally meeting this guest in the flesh. We had him on via Zoom.
It's awesome.
Months ago, we had a great time. It was smack dab in the middle of the pandemic, and he was coming to us live from his house, sitting at a piano. Now he's standing before us with a guitar strapped on him. Please welcome from the band Low Cut Connie, Mr. Adam Wiener.
Yay! Yo, yo, yo.
Nice to see you, Adam.
I want you to know I learned how to play guitar just for you.
I heard. So you're a piano player.
Yes.
And we don't have a piano here.
Yeah, no, you didn't. So this morning I had to learn. I borrowed a guitar. I took like a quick little tutorial off of YouTube.
All right.
And we're going to see what happens here today.
Do you remember years ago, maybe you don't, but there was Roy Clark had a thing called the Quick Picking, Easy Strumming Home Guitar Course. And they you could learn the guitar in like a weekend.
Yeah, well, whatever you hear today is however much you can learn in about 5 minutes.
Hey, you know what, Adam? You said, let's see what happens. And yeah. You impressed me as a let's see what happens kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you know, rock and roll, you get on stage, people say, you know, like, how'd you do that? Or what's your set list for tonight or whatever? I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Things just happen.
Yeah. That's like the Chuck Berry way. Chuck Berry was known for just strolling in and going, having a backing band that didn't know anything. I think Bruce Springsteen recounts a story of just going, Chuck came in, we were his backup band, we didn't know what we were going to play. We said, Chuck, what are we going to play? And he turns to me and goes, we're going to be playing some Chuck Berry songs tonight. All right.
He said,
it's so rock and roll.
He used to say, the bands used to say, can we practice? You know, what key are you going to do it in? And he'd say, do you listen to the radio, son? Yeah. Do you hear Chuck Berry songs? Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to be playing.
I love that. And that seems to embody the spirit of Low Cut Connie. You guys are a go with the flow group, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been amazing because we've been doing this for 10 years. I live in South Philly here. And for the first 5 years, I was still a teacher.
Yeah.
And 6 years ago, a lot of things conspired and the band just sort of grew. And all of a sudden, I was ready to do 100 shows a year and travel all over the world and represent Philadelphia rock and roll to people all over the world.
It's great.
And I was already 35, but I took the leap. I quit my job and here we are.
All right. How tough of a decision was that to make? You know, I mean, because that's a leap of faith.
What happens is sometimes the world decides for you. Mm-hmm. And there was so much going on. And I was afraid to take the leap.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden there was so much happening that I said, this is my only shot. This is it. And if I don't take the leap now, it's never going to happen. And so I did. And I don't regret a single day because, you know, I get to travel the world, 100 shows a year, sing my heart out, represent Philadelphia to the world. I've, you know, Elton John's become a fan and Bruce Springsteen's become a fan and Howard Stern and Obama and all these people. And I feel like I'm just getting started now. So sometimes you just got to take the leap, you know, to commit to what you really want to do.
Yeah, absolutely have to. Was there a backup plan? Was it teaching? Fall back on that if you needed to?
I was a teacher.
Yeah.
I wasn't good at it. As you can tell, I didn't like getting up early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I always would say, you know, sometimes when I get off stage and I've done a 2-hour show and I'm covered in sweat and whatever, I'll say, maybe there's still time to go to law school.
Yeah.
But you know what? I have the greatest job in the world now.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I really do.
You make a good point. It's a point I always say. I try to tell, you know, people when they're trying to, you know, get into this or whatever, is that you got to work towards it, but you also have to know, train your eyes to look for that sign, like, this is the path.
Sure.
Because a lot of times it's just going to present right for you, and it's like, okay, I'm going to go with the flow now because this is where everything seems to want to take me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it worked out for you, man. This is, again, you say all these luminaries that you're mentioning who have tied into it. And, I mean, in the relative scheme of things, still in your embryonic stages here.
You know, I remember your buddy Pierre Robert was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame about 4 years ago. And we got asked to play the induction ceremony of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'd listened to Pierre and you guys growing up. And Pierre, you know, he interviewed me that day and said, how does it feel to be playing on the same stage as the Cars and all these people? And I said, I don't know if I belong here, you know? And he said, no, you belong here. You earned it. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need the world to remind you, you know, that you're on the right path.
Mm.
And so, you know,
Do you think there's something to be said for it? Because we were inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame and we went out to the ceremony. It was very nice.
Mazel tov, President Steve.
Well, thank you. And everybody,
we're cavelling about it.
I'll tell you this, though.
I think if you ever, you should always have a bit of that. Do we really deserve this? Just to keep you.
You gotta stay hungry.
Set, right? Yeah, because it's not. Once you say, "Oh, this is," of course, it's a given. I think that's when you're going to start to, you know, be on the downward trend. You know.
Yeah, and you, whatever you do, you're an actor, you're a painter, you're a singer, you're a dancer, whatever. The next performance you're going to do, you're trying to make it your best one.
Yeah.
And the next broadcast you guys do, you're trying to make it your best one.
Not the next one, but the one after we're thinking is going to be really good. Right?
Not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
That's
a write-off. Yeah.
I mean, we're legit interviewing a puppet tomorrow.
He's not kidding.
Puppet show and low cut house.
Wait a second. We were supposed to get top bill.
That's the best.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't know how serious you are about learning the guitar this morning.
Yeah.
That can't be the case, but I mean, how long ago did you pick up the guitar?
Well, for many years, and while I was living in South Philly, and I lived in this place that had no piano, and I had to figure out how to play songs and practice every day, because I'm one of these people that practices every day. So I just taught myself chords. And so you know what it is, Casey? It's like I've got one instrument that I can master, and then I've got my little side piece that I'm not very good at. But it's my wild weekend,
right?
If you know what I mean.
I got you.
So I don't actually aspire to be good on the guitar because it's kind of like my little red Corvette weekend getaway.
you want to be functional.
Yeah, I can get by.
Well, my favorite guitarist said that he wishes he would have spent more time on the piano. Yeah. He can pluck away at it, but he wishes he spent more time on the piano because he thinks it would have made him a better songwriter.
So, and who would that be?
That's Trey Anastasio. But he he's very prolific as far as songwriting is concerned. But do you think you write better music on the guitar or on the piano?
It has to pass the guitar test, if that makes sense. So if you're like a Paul McCartney writes a lot of songs on the piano, right? Elton John, obviously. Yeah. And there's a certain complexity with the piano. You've got 10 fingers. You can play 10 notes at once, right? And you build, you know, things just are naturally more complex. But then if I can pick up the guitar and play it stupid, play a stupid version of it, and the song is still good, then I know I got a winner.
That's a cool litmus test, yeah.
Because a good song, you know, a 12-year-old boy or girl that just picked up an instrument and goes on TikTok and plays your song for 30 seconds, if it comes across, that's a good song, right?
Yeah.
So you got to take the song and put it under different lenses. And if it passes every test, then you're done. If it doesn't, then you got to go back to the drawing board, if that makes sense.
I think that makes a lot of sense. We talk about it all the time. It's something I've mentioned many times on the show about writing comedy. And you keep whittling away. If you remove this part of it, does it still work? If you remove this word, does it still work? If you remove this comma, does it still work? And you just keep whittling down to the essential, because when you can get it in its purest form, that's when it translates to everyone.
Well, it's like recording too, because you can sit in a studio, and people who've been in bands know this, and it's being mixed, and you're hearing it on these monitors. Go sit in a car and listen to it.
Listen in a car. Listen on little earbuds.
Yep.
Listen on in mono, listen in stereo, listen to it across the room, listen to it while you're in the shower and it's across the room. It's got to translate. A great song will resonate in any situation.
Right.
Who do we read about? Who did you report about that specifically had an FM style transmitter?
It might have been Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Might have done that.
So they can hear it
in the car.
What it sounds
Stevie
like.
Stevie Wonder was the king of the car test.
Oh, yeah?
He can't drive, but he always had a. always had a car right outside the studio, and they would lead him out, and they would have a little like 87.7 or something all the way at the bottom of the dial that they could broadcast just to the parking lot so he could listen and hear what it would sound like on AM, basically.
It's great. It's so cool. You know?
Makes sense. All right, well, we want to see how these lessons have paid off.
Oh, my God.
If you don't mind.
I've never been so nervous in my life. I don't know how I'm going to hold it together.
Don't be nervous, Adam. Give us the love. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Wiener of Low Cut Connie on MMR.
I used to be a soldier. Now I'm getting older. I start to feel so lazy.
starts to make me crazy. Come on, children, pick it up. Let the jerk-offs clean it up. Touch my body, touch my soul. Revolution, rock and roll. But I'm still a loser. And I'm still a boozer. Chasing down the dragon. Falling off the wagon. Come on, children, stick it up. Let the jerk-offs pick it up. Touch my body, touch my soul. Revolution, rock and roll. Preaching to the choir. Jumping to the fire. And if I don't preserve it, then I don't deserve it. Come on, children, light it up. Let the jerk-offs eat it up. Touch my body, touch my soul. Revolution, rock and roll. And I can't explain it. And I can't contain. And I can't be trusted. And I'm still disgusted. Come on, children, rip it up. Let the jerk-offs do their stuff. Touch my body, touch my soul. Revolution, rock and roll. Come on, children, lift it up. Let the jerk-offs clean it up. Touch my body, touch my soul. Revolution, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Adam Wiener on MMR. Low Cut Connie playing the MMRBQ coming up on the 21st at the Waterfront Music Pavilion. And you'll be able to see these guys. And so there's five members in the band?
There's seven.
There's seven members in the band. Oh, all right, because I know you, I've seen video of you guys.
Four,
in.
There's been five, there's been six, there's been seven.
Okay.
For MMRBQ, we're going to be seven.
Wow.
Big step.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
And getting people dancing, getting people moving, what does that do for you?
Well, you know, my favorite band of all time is the Rolling Stones. I love all kinds of music, but, like, Rolling Stones are in my bloodstream. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Keith Richards and the Rolling Stones is the emphasis, like you were talking about Chuck Berry, it's rock, but the emphasis is on roll.
Mm.
So it's edgy music, it's hard-edged music. But you can dance to it. Mm-hmm. You can do all kinds of things to it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we play this style of rock and roll. It's a little bit throwback. It's modern, but a little bit throwback that people get up and dance.
Yeah. I noticed that about, you know, that throwback. Yeah.
There's not a lot of people that do that.
And I was trying to think of, like, boogie woogie was not the right word.
No.
But you know what I mean? There's some of that in there.
Well, when people use the word, you know, there's all math rock, modern rock, whatever. I always say rock and roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pierre would love you for that. He'll probably come in and talk about that as soon as he gets here.
Rock and roll. When people ask, what kind of music do you guys play? Rock and roll. Yeah. And that's, you know, it can be many things. It can be soulful. It can be intense. It can be all kinds of things, but it's rock and roll. The Stones are rock and roll. And we're rock and roll.
Are the Stones revolution rock and roll? Because they represented a revolution at one time.
Yeah, like to me, so much of the music that I love and that resonates with me has an edge to it, is provocative, pushes the boundary, but it's also like entertaining and you can dance to it.
What I got from your song is that kind of address what you're talking about before, taking a chance, being, you know, like getting out there and
yeah,
And that's something. And I love when I see we had, you know, we've had artists in recently who are you know, on the younger side, but that are really embracing absolutely. Rock at its purest level. And it's really encouraging to see that.
Absolutely. You know, like I said before, I was a full-time performer. I was a teacher. And I did teach lessons and on the weekends. And I, you know, about 15 years ago, before I was doing this full-time, I would teach all these 10-year-old girls who are playing guitar and drums and bass and screaming their heads off and had something to say, even at 10 years old. And I said, this is the future of rock and roll right here.
Yeah.
And I say in my song, the song that I just played, Revolution Rock and Roll, come on, children, rip it up. Mm. And Rip It Up is a song by Little Richard all the way back to the 1950s. Yeah. And I want to encourage younger generations to get up, lift your voices, you know, break the rules.
Yeah,
that's what we all have to do sometimes excellent. With music.
Yeah. I have a question about writing songs. I'll bring up my daughter, who's only 14 years old. We were in the car the other day, and she likes we play music for each other. And I throw her some older stuff. And I said, I want you to listen to this version of Under Pressure. It's David Bowie. It's the tribute to Freddie Mercury. And it was David Bowie and Annie Lennox doing
I love
Under
that
Pressure.
Version.
Yeah. Ooh, and I told her ahead of time, I'm like, now, while we're listening to this, I'm probably going to cry a little because I get very emotional when I listen to certain songs, sure. And especially when I'm showing someone else the song who maybe hasn't heard it, and I'm telling them a story about it, I start to get a little weepy.
Yeah.
And when you're writing something personal from your heart, from your gut, like the last song we just heard, sounds like it's got that in it. Can you get a little caught up in the emotion of that yourself, even though you've created it?
I mean, if you don't, there's something wrong a little bit.
Yeah.
Because music and all of entertainment is, you know, making somebody else feel something that you feel, whether it's through comedy or through acting or through singing. You know, you want to make people feel something. You want them to feel, you know, uplifted, inspired, hilarious, whatever the feeling you're trying to make them feel, right? And if it doesn't resonate with you, if it's not making you feel something, it ain't gonna resonate with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sit around and cry all day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of the fans of Low Cut Connie that are listening will know that I have all kinds of songs, you know, that are provoking all kinds of different feelings. But If I want to make somebody laugh and it doesn't make me laugh at all, it's not going to be funny.
Right.
It's not going to land. Yeah. Right.
No, it makes total sense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so who's caught your attention these days?
That's in terms of music?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, there's so many, and we do so many festivals all over the world.
Yeah, great place to see
them. And I get to see so much music, and a lot of great music is international. Like there's a band that I love. That's a Puerto Rican group called Combo Chimbita. They're like a psych rock group. The singer's from Colombia. They sing in Spanish. And it's amazing rock and roll.
I don't know what psych rock is.
Psychedelic. Like,
okay. All right.
Trippy.
You know,
yeah.
Very trippy.
Gotcha.
With a light show and everything.
Okay.
Which what grabs your attention the most? Is it vocals, guitar, piano?
Listen, I'm a showman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my heroes in terms of performance, you know, Freddie Mercury, Mick Jagger, Prince.
Yeah. Jerry Lee.
Jerry Lee, James Brown.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest of all time.
Yep.
I love Patti Smith, who's a fellow South Jerseyite like me. people that just get on Iggy Pop, people that get on stage and just go for it 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I don't love somebody's records, I will give anybody a chance live. And I've gone to festivals and seen performers where I didn't like their records, and they blew me away live. And then sometimes I love the records and the band. They just stand there and look at their shoes, mm-hmm. and it's like a snooze.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, if I may jump in quickly. So sometimes people, they get it out on stage but can't have it translate through the record. And that's got to be, that's a tough thing for you to always keep in mind. How do I, because you're so energetic and such a performer, and making sure that that's permeating through the actual listening experience.
I got to see some of my heroes in concert. I saw Iggy Pop. I think I was 20 years old. I saw Iggy Pop. That same summer, I saw James Brown, Bruce Springsteen,
when I think I was 18, Patti Smith, all these people. And I have a very short attention span. And the fact that these people, I was like a puppet.
Yeah.
When Iggy Pop is performing, I'm like a puppet. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do. He wants me to scream. He wants me to take my shirt off. Right. He wants me to cry.
Yeah.
And Mick Jagger has that. Tina Turner has that. They, you know, and so that's what I look to when I watch a show, is somebody that commands the audience. And it doesn't necessarily have to be totally frenetic.
Right.
Because, for instance, Roy Orbison, who I think was an amazing singer, he would stand still and open up his mouth, and people, it was like a pin drop in a room. He could command an audience.
Bono's got that presence. He's not necessarily running around, but he is.
He's got that gravitas.
He's got that command, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you see a performer and it looks like they don't really want to be there, or, okay, they're just sort of punching the clock.
Right.
And to me, it's like, why are we here?
Yeah.
You know, people spend their hard-earned money, and they want to let loose. They want to forget their stresses. They want to forget what's going on in the world. They want to sweat. They want to cry. They want to make out with somebody. They want to have the best night of their life. Yeah. That's your job.
Yeah.
So that's what we try to do.
Low Cut Connie is playing the MMRBQ. Adam Wiener, if you're just tuning in. I didn't ask you ahead of time. I'm sorry. Were we going to get another song, or was it just
only
the one
only if you
today?
Want to.
Pretty Please.
Oh, my God.
Is
just for you.
All right. Thank
Can
you.
Can I do something new?
Yeah, man. Whatever you want.
All right.
The mic is yours.
We're going to put a new album out next year. I just finished it. The album's called Art Dealers. We're actually doing a film as well. We just shot a film, concert film, and this is called Are You Gonna Run?
All right. Low Cut Connie, Adam Wiener on MMR.
When the chips are down, we lay it on the line. Are you gonna run? Are you gonna run from it, baby? If the words don't come, take a little time. Are you gonna run? Are you gonna run from it, baby? Oh, my love, why won't you tell me how it's gonna go? Tell me now, why won't you say what I already know? Will you move away when I start getting old? Are you gonna run? Are you gonna run from it, baby? Oh, my love, why won't you tell me how it's gonna go? Tell me now, why won't you say what I already know? What you feel for me, let your feelings show. Are you gonna run? Are you gonna run from it, baby? If our time is done, will you pull away so slow? Or are you gonna run? Are you gonna run from it, baby? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great stuff.
That is beautiful. Not to draw comparisons, that's got a like a Stand By Me vibe to it.
I
love that, dude.
Nothing wrong with that.
That is fantastic.
That
wow. So that's coming out when?
I think we're going to put that song out this fall.
Okay.
You're hearing it here first. This was a premiere. It's the first time I did it.
World premiere.
We're going to put that song out this fall, and then the album Art Dealers is going to come out next year with this concert film that we just made called Art Dealers. So next year is going to be a big year for Low Cut Connie, for sure.
Wow. That's awesome, man. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming by.
Hey, thank you.
And listen, may I say,
the lessons paid off. You did. That was
all right.
I mean, with 5 minutes of training.
Next time I'll learn a B7th chord, maybe a minor chord or something for you.
Change it
just
up a little
you.
Bit. If you could give us the link to that YouTube video, we'd like to learn as well.
I want to learn how to play guitar.
We'll play with you when you come back.
Absolutely.
No, listen, we're excited about the show. Yeah. MMRBQ, May 21st, a Saturday. Just we're looking forward to outdoor music.
It's going
to
be a blast.
We have
to get together. It's time to get together.
Yep.
And when we get out there on the stage, I'm going to say, yo, New Jersey. And everybody's going to, ooh, here we go. So I can't wait to see all those radio listeners out there at the MMRBQ. It's going to be a blast.
And a reminder, wear your dancing shoes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Thanks for coming by, Adam. Great to see you.
Adam Wiener. Yeah.
Low-cut Connie. There is a ticket raid, by the way, 4 tickets coming up, and it will be, when is this? Today. All right, so you can join the MM Army at the Beat Rita's at 14 Swamp Road in Newtown. 5 to 7 tickets every 15 minutes. Make sure that you do.
Get over there.
Stop by. Get the details, WMMR.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Get what you want when you want it. MMR on demand. Preston and Steve's Daily Rush, Sarah's Rock Breakdown, MMR podcasts, the latest videos and interviews with your fave artists, and lots more. Click the on demand tab at WMMR.com.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Mulch Works of Aston. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil that's manufactured on-site. Delivery or pickup for residential and commercial markets. You can visit mulchthis.com. A Kentucky man is accused of shooting his mother after an argument over an Xbox controller that he gifted her on Mother's Day.
Okay.
Deputies received a report of a gunshot victim on their way to the hospital, and about the same time, another officer received a call that the perpetrator was at a neighbor's house and waiting for law enforcement.
I hit it because you didn't clean your room.
Deputy Jerry Meadows arrived at the scene to find Jacob Small, 22 years old, who explained that he and his mother, Amber Powell, got into an altercation over an Xbox controller that he gave her for Mother's Day.
Oh, that's beautiful. Just what I wanted.
As Powell and another female were leaving the home, Small allegedly fired a .22 caliber rifle into the vehicle.
This would not have happened with the creamsicle rose, Preston.
No, of course not. That brings nothing but love.
Yes.
Powell was struck by the gunfire and was treated at the hospital before she was transferred to another hospital for further treatment. Her condition is currently unknown. Small was charged with attempted murder, first-degree assault, and second-degree mischief after telling police he shot his mother.
Not for anything, but getting your mom an Xbox controller for Mother's Day?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's a gamer? I don't know.
Possibly.
Who knows? Two bartenders at a Phoenix restaurant, you hear about this every now and then, were rushed to the hospital on Sunday after the making of a flaming novelty drink went wrong. First responders rushed to Salt Tacos y Tequila after two female bartenders were seriously burned.
Jeez.
The 19-year-old and 25-year-old burn victims suffered first and second-degree burns to their upper bodies after firefighters say the two were making the drinks. Firefighters only said that they were taken to a local burn center, did not say their condition. It's unknown exactly how things went wrong.
Did they mention the exact drink, or did they miss
it? No, they just said it was a flaming Moe.
Yeah, that's good.
No, it's one of those novelty drinks that they light on fire. And sometimes people try it. Sometimes you can drink them, and sometimes you cannot. It will set your body on fire if you're not careful. Let's see. Angered that a neighbor's chicken had been pooping on the back patio, a Florida woman allegedly retrieved a bucket of pee from her bathroom.
Oh, my God.
And proceeded to douse the bird's owner with the foul liquid.
You just have a bucket of pee? Okay.
That's one of the questions.
I do.
So police busted Christine Terriman on a misdemeanor battery charge following a confrontation late Sunday evening with the Palm Haven Mobile at the Palm Haven Mobile Park in St. Petersburg. Cops say Terman was mad at victim Lawrence Stenzel due to his chicken pooping on the back patio. So Terman went inside, got a bucket of pee from her bathroom, walked out on the back patio, and threw the full bucket of pee at Stenzel. The bucket struck Stenzel in the face, causing him pain, according to a sheriff's deputy who added that, quote, the victim was wet when we arrived and smelled of urine.
I'll be representing the chicken in court.
The arrest report does
looks
not...
like the owner got pissed off.
Are you now what show?
Yeah.
You're on CSI now?
I can't find my...
Gene Simmons, yeah. CSI, where he actually takes his mask off. He takes his makeup
whole face
off.
Yeah. Down to his skull.
So Terman reportedly admitted to her actions after being read her rights. Terman was booked into the county jail for the incident.
Look at this. She looks... We're looking at the photo... mugshot. Yeah, she looks like someone who would have a bucket of piss at the ready.
And but ready for the specific use of throwing
that's
it.
That's right, throwing bucket of piss.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drinking one over there.
All right, professional soccer player, Brazilian defender Marcelo was dropped from the Lion first team.
No!
Due to continuous farting and laughing in the dressing room, according to ESPN. It was reported in August. The 34-year-old was expelled from the senior squad. From their three, following their Lions 3-0 defeat, or 3-0 defeat, sorry, at the hands of Angers, Marcelo was caught laughing during Captain Leo Dubois' speech to rally the troops. Following the game, which didn't go down well with manager Pete Boza and sporting director Juninho. However...
That's good.
Dude just finds it funny.
He just finds it funny.
However, Marcelo was also disciplined by the club for repeatedly farting among his teammates in the dressing room and laughing in the presence.
Sorry. That's good.
I'm laughing too, man. So after farting in the dressing room and laughing in the in the presence of Juninho and Boz, Marcelo was considered one of the leaders of the team and had signed a new contract a few months before the start.
So he ruined it all
by farting and then laughing. The club described his actions after the Angers loss as inappropriate behavior. So they let him go over that.
Did you realize how much you have to be farting for a men's soccer team to get... It's like you said, getting thrown out of Guns N' Roses for abusing drugs.
Yeah, totally. Yep. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File. It's 10:01 a.m.
Now, here's your Concert Cash keyword.
All right. The word is demand, D-E-M-A-N-D, and you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. There are three ways for you to do it. You can text it to the special contest short code number. That's 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500, of course, in this company-wide contest, and all MMR winners receive two free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners will get a call from our company, Beasley. Make sure you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. And it is sponsored by AAA Distributor. Let me give you that word again. It is demand, all right? So it's time to do it. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
It's not fancy. Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we have some other things to do. We have a lesson question. We are going to give away a pair of tickets as MMR Rocks Roger Waters. This is Friday, August 5th at the Wells Fargo Center. And let's see if we will go with this one. All right, this is a tough one because I asked a stupid question this morning at 6:30.
Now, the question was, what does uranium become when it loses its radioactivity?
Yeah.
The answer was lead, but what did Steve think it was? That's a hard one.
It is hard.
It was just a little throwaway line from early this morning. What we do is we try to find out if you've been listening all morning long, and that's what the lesson question is all about. So if you heard that and you know that answer, call now, 215-263-WMMR. What does uranium become, according to Steve, when it loses its radioactivity? We're going to do the trash while we wait for that call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss sub taste as good as it sounds because fresh ingredients make a sub above. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch telling James Corden that he was seriously considering ditching his name when he began acting. Fortunately, Cumberbatch says he passed on the name suggested by his agent, the equally British-sounding Giles Pornography.
Oh, my God.
Hilary Duff explains why she bared it all for the cover of Women's Health Magazine's Body Issue. The 34-year-old actress explained, quote, "I'm standing sideways so you can't see my beaver nips."
Oh, my God.
Hey!
How refreshingly candid, right? And finally, Mike Tyson will not face criminal charges stemming from his airplane beatdown of an annoying passenger. The San Mateo County District Attorney reviewed the case and found Tyson too scary to piss off. Yeah.
All right, we're looking for the answer to this question. What does uranium become when it loses its radioactivity, according to Steve? 215-263-WMMR. We will go to Noah for the answer. Hey, Noah.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Noah, what does uranium become when it loses its radioactivity?
Eggplant.
Yes! Eggplant is the answer. Hang on, Noah. We got you, dude. You're going to go see Roger Waters. This is pretty awesome. And that show is going to be Friday, August 5th at the Wells Fargo Center. This is not a drill tour. Performing in the round. Tickets for both shows, August 5th and 6th, are on sale now. Complete details available at WMMR.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by Coors Light. Preston and Steve's show headed to Keenan's in North Wildwood. Friday, May 27th, to officially open the Jersey Shore. Be there starting at 6 a.m. It's brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. We're going to start with a concert announcement.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know we were going to play a promo for it before I made the announcement, but nonetheless, it's still out there, and we are happy to announce that this show will be Friday, October 1st, at the Wells Fargo Center, and MMR will be rocking with Smashing Pumpkins.
Yay!
Smashing Pumpkins and their Spirits on Fire tour. But listen, it's not just Smashing Pumpkins. Jane's Addiction.
Whoa-ho!
Will be a part of this lineup as well, and the band Poppy. So Friday, October 21st, Wells Fargo Center. Tickets will go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m.
That's a heck of a show.
Pierre's going to have tickets for you all week long. You can get the details at WMMR.com. Including the pre-sale and another chance to win. Thursday is the pre-sale, by the way, so that would be tomorrow. And another chance to win for MMR VIP. So, you want to see Smashing Pumpkins? Been a while. Jane's Addiction along and the band Poppy. And this is your chance to see the Spirits on Fire tour.
Love it.
Friday, October 21st, Wells Fargo Center. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. So, like I said, Pierre's got tickets to win. All week long, if you go to WMMR.com, you can find out about the Thursday pre-sale. So, good stuff, my friend. All right. I have a somewhat local story. You guys will like this. Lamb of God's Randy Blythe is used to being surrounded by talented musicians, but he was just as blown away by the talent at the School of Rock, Kids in Doylestown.
How about that?
Bly said, "I showed up, and these kids were so well rehearsed, and they were so engaged. They were not messing around with their phones or TikToking or trying to prove via social media that they were hanging out with some dude from a metal band. They were there to make music, and it was really encouraging to me because the digital world is so distracting."
That's Didn't cool. he say that if he was awarding points for certain areas of Pennsylvania,
he would, that Bucks he would County give, would have gotten...
I think points. I can give Bucks County 5
All
points.
Right.
All right.
Let's go.
If there was such a concert,
where they would award points to different areas.
As you wear your T-shirt awarded from you from Delaware County.
And that is the that is for the kids at the School of Rock Kids in Doylestown. So they did an impressive job.
That's cool, though.
He said the people were super cool, and the kids were very, very talented. There was one dude who was singing with me, and I was a little embarrassed to be singing with him because he's 15 and he's got those pipes. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm out of here. That's what he said. Blythe teamed up with the School of Rock Kids earlier this year where they collaborated on Lamb of God songs. Blythe and Lamb of God continue the metal tour of the year with Megadeth, Trivium, and In Flames. So it's cool. And I've been to a couple of School of Rock performances, and it's great.
Yeah.
They usually have like a theme. The one that I went to was Black Sabbath, and it was all Black Sabbath songs that night. But they do anything and everything, all kinds of different genres. And
that makes it so cool.
Really awesome.
Is School of Rock a franchise now?
I don't know. There are a number of them, right?
There are.
Right.
There's definitely a lot of them. I think there's one of the School of Rock singers in our MMRBQ auditions.
Oh, nice.
That's what it's called, School of Rock Singers? There are a few singers from School of Rock. I'm sorry.
There's a performance happening, and the kid singing Guns N' Roses. Yeah. He's great.
Love it.
Well, there you go.
By the way, I'll tell you about that in a moment at the end of Music News. How you can? Well, no, I'll just mention it now. If you would like to vote for the singers for the President Steve side stage, the live band karaoke with Sidearm, you can do that. And you can go to WMMR.com and place your vote, and we will take your suggestions into account when we decide on the 10 singers that will be chosen to be a part of that performance. So make sure you do take a look at that, and you'll get a feel for what we have going on. Set for publication on November 1st is Bono's memoir, which is titled Surrender, 40 Songs, One Story. And each chapter is based around the title of a specific U2 song and features hand drawings by the singer.
When I was growing up, I was certain that Marvin Hagler could beat up the world.
You too, huh?
Rolling Stone quoted Bono as explaining the brief of Surrender. He said, when I started to write this book, I was hoping to draw in detail what I'd previously only sketched in songs. The people, places, and possibilities in my life. Surrender is a word frightened with meaning for me. Growing up in Ireland in the 70s, and my fists up, musically speaking, it was not a natural concept, a word I only circled until I gathered my thoughts for the book. And I'm still grappling with this most humbling of commands in the band, in my marriage, in my faith, in my life as an activist. Surrender is the story of one pilgrim's lack of progress with a fair amount of fun along the way. In the chapter titled Out of Control, Bono writes, why go all the way to Timbuktu as a war correspondent when there's so much good material under my bed? The fears and specters under my pillow, the reasons I sometimes don't want to get out of bed.
Every night when I go to sleep, two monsters come into my room. One has a huge eye. The other one looks like a big Wookiee.
He said, I don't yet know that rock and roll,
sounds like Billy Crystal,
punk rock in particular, will prove my liberation, that it will end my occupation of my bed. So it's stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Very trippy Bono stuff. Yep.
Ghosts' Tobias Forge has claimed that some bands have been using the COVID-19 pandemic as an excuse to cancel their tours with low ticket sales.
I don't like it.
He said, well, the problem now is that a lot of these bands find the bottom line not to be satisfactory. They don't go out and say, look, we're not making as much money as we wish, so we're going to cancel or we're going to postpone till the stars are aligned and the marketplace looks better. He said, they go out and tell the crowd, oh, because safety concerns, we're not touring. And that is an effing horrible message to the crowd, to the rest of the business, to everyone that we're all relying on, as in the promoters and everyone working at the venues, everybody working as vendors, all the crew members, all the busing companies, all the truck companies, all these people who just had their tour canceled just because these four or five dudes or girls just decided that the money wasn't great.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that happened even when there was no pandemic.
They called it lack of ticketitis.
And they would position it as something else. They wouldn't say, look, we're not selling enough, so we're canceling the tour. They would say, well, we have a family commitment or something like that, or emergency came up. Nikki Sixx has distanced himself and his bandmates from a recently announced play about the group, Motley Crue. Last week, it was revealed that the crew, Underneath the Dirt Lies the Truth, would premiere on June 4th at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. The play, written by David Lucarelli,
was described in a press release as a darkly humorous drama and an intimate look at Nikki Sixx and the band he built into a cultural phenomenon. Sixx issued a statement via Instagram that distanced himself from the play. He said fans of Motley Crue have asked about the new play called The Crew Underneath the Dirt Lies the Truth. I was disappointed to see the advertisement using my image and our band's trademark, The Crew, to promote this play. The advertising is misleading because it suggests that I and the other members of the band are somehow involved with the play. We have never been approached about this play, and Motley Crue has no connection or affiliation with this
play. So how do you get away with something like that?
Whatsoever. Don't know. Do not know. All right, and then with that being the last story in music news, I have a phone call to take real quick. And it's Bob. Everybody, this is Bob.
Bob,
this is everybody. How you doing, Bob?
Yo, what's going on?
Yo,
freaking Zoops.
Listen, Zoops. Dude, I should ask you what is going on. What is going on?
500 things are going on right
now. Oh, yeah, Bob's our winner! MMR Concert Cash. Once again, that's great, Bob. Congratulations, man. Where you're on the road right now?
Absolutely.
Where are you headed to?
I'm picking up my son to go get a car.
Oh, a $500 car?
This comes in handy, dude.
I'm going to use that $500 to fill it up.
Yeah, right. Might need it all. Yeah. Bob, where are you from, my man?
Claymont to Delaware.
To Delaware.
Excellent. Well, listen, Bob, we got the $500 for you. We got the tickets to the MMRBQ, and we will see you there, my man, all right?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks for listening to MMR. Let's hear it for Bob, everybody. Yay! All right, your next opportunity is coming up at noon with Pierre, and then he does it again at 2, and it happens at 4, and at 6, and 8 p.m. Don't miss your chance to win money and tickets. Oh, and speaking of winning, Kathy, we need a secret text word caller. What number is it going to be?
7.
All right, 7 caller, 215-263-WMMR. We'll check in with you when we get back. Find out if you know the secret text word. Stay with us.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
This Wednesday morning, disappearing before us. Not a bad thing. I love getting past Wednesday, man.
Oh, my God.
Working our way towards a weekend, of course. We have a few things to do on this final break. We have a couple of phone calls to take. Let me go to the secret text word caller. We were looking for number 7, right, Kath? Of course. She was taking a drink.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it is Nick who happens to be the 7th caller. Hey, Nick, how you doing, man? Hello. Yeah. All right, Nick, do me a favor. Tell me what the secret text word is.
Turntable.
That is correct, sir. I would ask you to hold on the line because we are going to get your information. We're going to set you up with some tickets to see the record company, this band that we're playing here. They're playing Friday, October 28th at Union Transfer. It's a ways off, October 28th, but tickets go on sale this Friday, so we're giving you these tickets before you can even buy them. Complete details, another chance to win tickets for MMR VIPs. You can get that information at WMMR.com. And we had another winner, and that is our random texter, and that is Ray Johnston, who is from Laurel Springs, New Jersey. So same prize goes to Ray. Congratulations.
It's like Ray Johnston.
Ray Johnston, yeah. So we'll give you those tickets to see that great band, the record company, October 28th, and Union Transfer tickets on sale this Friday. Now, that's not the only phone call we're going to take. We have yet another caller, and that is Jim. Is it Jim?
This is Jim.
Hey, Jim, how you doing today, man?
I'm tremendous.
Oh, why are you so tremendous?
I just won $500.
Absolutely. I love it, Jim. Congratulations. Where are you from, dude?
Haddon Heights.
from Haddon Heights. All right, excellent. And what are you doing today? Right now, as we speak, what are you doing?
Actually, I pulled over because I'm in New Jersey and I don't want to get stopped by the cops.
Good man. Good call. Yeah. All right, well, sit there and bask in the glow of your winning, dude. We got you $500 and tickets to the MM Barbecue. Have you attended that show before?
I have not. I wish I had gone last year. I would have loved to have seen Wolfie.
No, he was great. We will definitely have him back again. Well, there's a load of other bands that you got to check out that are going to be on this bill, and we are happy that you will be there, and we will see you there, Jim. So congratulations on behalf of MMR.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, you got it, buddy. There you go. Another winner. Hey! We're just getting started, too, man.
I love that.
We got a lot left in the day to do. I would like to thank a member of a band that will be on that bill, who was in our studio this morning. Adam Wiener from Low Cut Connie. Woo! Was awesome. He sounded fantastic. Played two songs for us. One was a debut.
Yes.
He's never played live for anybody before. And we got it here on the air. And a lot of fun. Really cool. Looking forward to that band set. And Pierre is here. How you doing, man?
I was talking with Adam on his way out of the building. I was coming in as he was departing, and he really sounded great.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I am making a gentleman's bet that two bands that may steal the show are early bands, Low Cut Connie being one of them and Living Color being the other.
Ooh,
it's true. I think either of them have show-stealing potential for the entire gig.
Yes, yeah.
Kathy was just down seeing Limp Bizkit and Snot.
Snot.
Snot is the name of the band, and Wargasm UK down at the casinos on Saturday night. And she took the bus down there with some of the other blue-haired ladies, the casino. Yeah. They went down to the casinos, and Scowl opened. Each of those,
she designed the bill.
Well, it is. I mean, it's got a Romano Presents.
Was Pustule on that?
No, but
bill?
Leaking valves is.
Okay, leaking valves?
Leaking, yeah.
You were going to say vagina, weren't you?
Well, oh, my God.
I corrected.
Okay.
And,
Mother, I have a strange. Okay.
But, I mean, there's nothing like seeing Kathy at a Snot show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just like she actually introduced them, and she goes, "All right, you little nose-running bastards. Get your hankies out and welcome Snot!"
Wow.
Remember that, Kat?
Good man.
I can't even look like I work at a rock station, let alone what you're describing.
Right. No, you should have seen her black studded leather, the headband, and she had her T-shirt cut in just the way you could see all her tats. I mean, it was great. And I didn't know you had a nose piercing.
I actually always have wanted a nose piercing, but because of my allergy situation, there's no way.
Well, could you imagine?
Would come in handy introducing a band named Snot.
Yeah. Would you get the one side, or would you get the bull thing in the middle?
God, no, that's awful. The bull thing is terrible. Okay. The one side.
Yeah,
a
little stud.
Yeah, like something nice in there, or something pretty, or, you know, really rock and roll.
To Limp Bizkit's credit, by the way, they actually were promoting the tour as the Limp Bizkit Still Sucks Tour.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So that was tongue-in-cheek on their behalf, and you got to give them kudos and credit for that. But the names of the band in that lineup just slay me.
Nope.
Just like Slayer does for you, Kathy. Anyways. Okay.
Anyways, right.
So we ready to do the letter, I guess?
I was.
Okay.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
S as in Snot.
All right, and we're going to give away dinner for 10 at Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse. Celebrate the graduate in your life with 15 different cuts of meat and fish served right at your table and gourmet salad bar. It's a perfect place for your graduation celebration. Private rooms available for parties of 16 or more, and you can get information and reservations at nebraza.com. So we're going to give that away in 2 days. Two more letters to go. What's up on the show today, man?
Well, speaking of S, I've got Smashing Pumpkins tickets. You just announced the show with Jane's Addiction at the Big Joint October 21st. I believe it goes on sale on Friday. So I will have a pair of tickets for that today, tomorrow, and Friday. Concert cash possibilities. And remember, this is the last week for concert cash. Although, as you mentioned, there are several times, seven daily, every 2 hours from 8 a.m. Right through 8 p.m. For people to win. And we're still getting tons of people who have never won before, like the guys you have had on today. Really cool. But that'll be noon and 2 p.m. concert cash. It would be cash and tickets for the MMRBQ. Workforce Blocks of Queen and Bob Marley and Sting, who opens a two-night stand at the Met this evening.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Awesome.
That's so it'll be a fun day.
Excellent. All right. Let me thank the sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme from City to Shore. Acme has got everything you need to prep for the summer season. Acme Fresh Foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and BetterHelp Online Therapy. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/WMMR. Tomorrow on our show, a couple of comedic performers. First of all, we're going to have Felt Face.
What?
Yeah, Felt
in,
Face.
In the studio?
Yeah.
In the studio.
You
Felt
kidding?
Face is a puppet, believe
Felt
it or not.
Felt Face
a
real is going to be here?
A real living puppet.
Actually, very, very funny.
Yes.
If you've watched any of the videos. And Cedric the Entertainer will be on the program,
wow,
too. So we'll have that and more tomorrow. That's it. We are done. Ray, John, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the Ba-ba-choo-da-ba-choo-ba-ba-ba-ba-doo-ga-ga-ba-ba-da-da.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.